Meeting will come to order. Clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum. Members, we have the minutes of the meeting of April 4th before us. Are there any corrections, additions, or changes to the minutes? Representative McNamara moves approval of the minutes. All in favor of the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Members, we have one item of business this evening. That is the House resolution that sets what are informally called the targets, House resolution number 8. And members, I'll move House resolution number 8. And the real item is the A2 amendment, because if you look closely at House resolution number 8, you'll see it is extremely uncontroversial, as there are nothing but blanks for the numbers on it. And so I guess I'd appreciate it if you would adopt the A2 amendment so we can get the resolution in shape. I'll move the A2 amendment. Any questions? Representative, voting for zero spending. I suppose we could shut the state down if we just voted for the targets the way they are right now, Representative Carlson.
Wondering what your intent is, Mr. Chairman.
Not that, Representative Carlson, although that's an interesting thought. All in favor of the A2 amendment to get the resolution in shape, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Members, let me go through the A2 amendment, and I'm going to take some time going through it. I know there are a lot of questions. I will try to answer those questions as I go through it and explain it in the hopes that that will cut down on the number of questions people otherwise have. I know there are people who have commitments for this evening, and while I certainly want to be here as long as they want to answer questions, I also want to minimize them for everyone's sake if I can. The A2 amendment, House Resolution number 8, as amended, is the targets. And we're doing something a little bit different this year in the targets. We are setting forth a situation where we have two options for the targets in the resolution, which, if you look at your spreadsheet, are option A and option B. One option is contingent upon the passage of House File 1664, which is the Racino bill carried by Representative Viskins. That is option B. Option A is not contingent upon the passage of House File 1664. Why did we do it that way? Why are we proposing to do it that way? Members, a couple of issues. In the first place, we've heard from the governor's office, obviously a lot of interest in gaming there. I've heard from Representative Viskins that there are discussions about amending his bill so that it would not be just a straight Racino bill, but it would have some involvement from the northern tribes. I don't have a fiscal note or a revenue estimate for what that might be, and I'm reluctant to build one in to a target or a resolution when I don't know what that number would be, and so I feel there should be some alternative in case that number might be wrong or might not coordinate with the current resolution, the current revenue estimate for House File 1664. Secondly, there are certainly some people who think that there might be some question about the passage of a gaming bill. This resolution, as it is structured, provides for targets in the case that a gaming bill providing money is not passed. And so, members, this is, I think, a resolution that gives us the option of doing either of them and allows us to make that decision now when it needs to be made. Let me go through the resolution basically by going through the
Chairman.
Spreadsheet that's in their packets. Representative Carlson.
Well, if it would be appropriate now while we're on the option A and B, and you said
sure,
A is contingent on one set of circumstances and B on the other. How do you see the timing of how that's triggered? Most of us are on another fiscal committee, and those committees then will be getting two targets. So if we're putting the bill together with two options out there, it creates a dilemma unless you've taken some action, or Representative Trinke has taken some action on the gaming bill so you know whether it's in or out. And so my question is, how or when do we trigger which option we'll be under when we begin to allocate in those funding divisions?
Well, Representative Carlson, I think that's a very good question, and I'm happy to have you ask it. I don't know how quickly that bill might move. It's certainly possible that that bill might be moved in the very near future and that we could have the gaming bill on the House floor early next week before we would actually act on the third deadline on the finance bill. So it's certainly possible we would know the outcome of that before people are voting on the finance bills. But I guess the way I would envision it happening, if that was not the case, is that you would, if you were in a situation where the committee you were on got some additional money in the option that included funding for gaming, you would write your bill, and then the last page you would say the following appropriations are contingent upon the passage of House File 1664, and then you would itemize it how you chose to, as a committee, appropriate that money.
So, Mr. Chairman, we would have, in effect, two appropriations bills, and that those divisions would be reporting out at the same time. Is that, am I following you correctly? If you have your appropriations as you normally would, and then say it's contingent upon, most of those appropriations committees have different line items, so then you would, that committee would have to list the expenditures, unless they did an across-the-board kind of an approach. They would have to have an entirely separate section of bill with different appropriations for each line item or each account. You know, I'm just thinking, my goodness, the Health and Human Service bill, how big that is already, or the K-12 education bill, how big that is. And if you're going to have two bills packaged together, which I would think you'd almost have to do if you were going to appropriately, I've never been a fan of across-the-board kinds of cuts or increases. I mean, I think you'd have to have the committees being a bit more deliberative than that. So then you're going to have Bill A and Bill B, or Section A and Section B, which would be two completely different bills all packaged together. Well, and then how would a member cast their vote? Because they might, within that bill, prefer one option or the other, and how would you prepare amendments as that bill goes through? I mean, I see just all kinds of complications unless you resolve one way or another this gaming issue before those bills are put together. I'm talking mainly about timing so that we don't have such a burdensome system that people don't really understand what kind of a proposal a given funding division is making.
Well, Representative Carlson, I guess I don't view it as being that complicated. Certainly it's possible that we would pass or not pass a gaming bill before we were to act on these finance bills, and obviously if that's the case and that happens in the near future, it's not an issue. But as I said earlier, I guess I would envision that you would only have one bill, one omnibus bill for each division. You would have a set amount that you know that you could spend for sure, which is option A, and then you would have some additional spending that you could do subject to the passage of House File 1664, and in that bill, you could write it on the last pages where you had a contingency for what additional spending you would make if you had the money from House File 1664. If you were on a committee that was even affected by it, there are some committees that are not, but if you were on a committee that was affected by it, you could write it that way, or you could write it within your language as you were on page one, one particular provision. You might want to put in extra money. If House File 1664 passed, you could put that in as a contingency. Page three, you could do it again. So it's somewhat subject to how the chairs want to write their bills. I see it all being in one bill. Representative Solberg.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that becomes a little bit confusing for us, and I don't know how other agencies or other jurisdictions may rule on something like that. I might want to cast a vote no against, let's take the education bill, if it's in one form, but if it's in two forms, I might want to vote yes on the second form. How do I vote no and yes at the same time if they're both in one form? becomes an omnibus of the omnibus bills, doesn't it? I can understand this kind of process going through if you had made a final determination on the Rossino bill and had that going through committees and had passed the House floor, then you could do plan A or B. And so you made a decision. But I, as a representative, might want to vote yes one way and no on the other. And if they're both in one, you tell me how I'm supposed to determine what that's going to be.
Well, Representative Silver, we have had bills before where we've had contingent appropriations. We've had contingent appropriations in the tax bill for appropriating money to tax refunds, to tax relief accounts. We've had appropriations in the education bill for appropriating money to pay down the shift subject to a forecast. It's not unusual to have contingencies in appropriation bills, and that's what these are contingencies in appropriation bills.
Mr. Chair, a contingency appropriation to pay down the shift, and it was on a separate bill as well. I could vote yes or no on whether I wanted that. So that's a different situation than a contingency appropriation on whether I want to fund one or the other. Or if you got two bills in one, I think you have a little bit of a difficulty in some constitutional problems here. I mean, you tell me how I vote.
I guess I don't see that at all, Representative Solberg. If you look at we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but if you look at the health bill, for example, we're proposing that the health bill would get $50 million more in their Option A target than the governor is recommending, and subject to the passage of House File 1664, get an additional $20 million. And I would anticipate that Representative Bradley would put together a bill that spent the additional $50 million on what he and the committee felt it should be spent on, and then have an additional $20 million of spending in the bill contingent upon House File 1664's passage. And everyone would know that this is subject to that. There wouldn't be any great secret about that, and people would have to make that evaluation when they were thinking about whether or not to vote for the bill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we have a resolution here that sets targets. And I'm trying to, you know, first of all, I appreciate the difficulty your caucus had in the last couple of days in dealing with the issue of gambling. I think it's an extremely controversial project and a controversial proposal. It's controversial probably on both sides of the aisle. And we may be all over how we feel about these particular proposals. But I can understand this a little bit better, I think, if you had then said we're going to fast-track that particular proposal, and then the committees could work on it. But I really have, I think, a difficult. I'll express it right here that maybe I want to vote, and I'll use your example. Maybe I want to vote for Health and Human Services with the $70 million, and I don't want to vote for it with the $50 million in it. Because it's less of a cut. And so if they're both in one bill, you tell me how I make that decision.
Well, Representative Solberg, I think it's quite clear that there would be some level of possibility that money might not be there. But, you know, there are people who have raised legal concerns about the gaming proposals and whether even if we passed it, whether the money would be there anyway. There's always some level of uncertainty about some of these things.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I know that there's been some concerns expressed on the field that it may be illegal as being proposed. And I'm not here to judge that one way or another, but I am here to express a concern about my ability to represent my people on a particular issue. Mark Olson will have a heyday on this one.
Well,
and we may join them.
If there aren't any other questions, okay, Representative Dorman. Oh, I'm sorry, there are a couple questions on this. Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the first point, Representative Solberg's point, I'm going to only assume that Representative Solberg, before this thing gets to the floor tomorrow, I'm sure there must be technicians over on the House floor installing the yellow button, which will be the maybe. Because we'll be voting maybe. Because that's what we're doing. We're going to vote maybe. Representative Novak, I'm a bit concerned that we're proceeding with even talking about Option B before we even heard the bill in the tax committee. I know it was scheduled last week, and let me ask Representative Krenke if he could comment on why that wasn't heard. It seems to me, and I know that I get accused of being somewhat cynical, and after looking at this, I sure don't know why I would be cynical. But you know, as I hear the rumor, you don't have the votes. So if you don't have the votes, what's the point of this? And if they've got the votes, I would have assumed we'd have had the hearing in Representative Krenke's committee last week. And so maybe Representative Bisgins or Representative Krenke could help me understand what we're even talking about option B for, because obviously if the votes were there to pass the Racino-Casino combination, I would assume we'd have had a hearing. But I don't know. Help me understand this, Representative Drummond.
Well, Representative Drummond, my understanding is that the governor is coming forward with some sort of revised proposal relating to the Racino and Northern tribes, and they wanted to wait before proceeding so that they could have that before the committee. But I, you know, if any others who are more involved in the bill or the committee want to respond further, I can certainly recognize them. Representative Krenke.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Dorman, I think the situation is that some people don't know if they do have the votes or not yet, so they're working on trying to massage the legislation so they can get the votes.
Oh.
That's the best information I have.
Mr. Chair, if we want to go through this, we ought to wait until we get the bill out of the tax committee so we know where we're at. I mean, that would sure solve an awful lot of problems. You know, I don't know how long we're going to have to wait for that revenue, know what you're expecting. I mean, I know one of the first weeks of the tax committee, I asked, and as did Representative Lincheski, just for some basic understanding of where that $200 million number came from, seemingly pulled out of the air, or what went into the construction of it, and heck, we still haven't heard. And so, you know, Representative Krenke, maybe you've gotten more information, but we requested that very early in the tax committee and still haven't heard word one. And so, I don't want to be cynical, but jeepers, it seems like we ought to wait till, you know, we could, you know, Representative Krenke, you know, you could fire that committee up tomorrow. We could just see where we're at. I see how the votes are.
Well, Representative Drummond, however, we have House rules that I believe in following, and House rules say that we need to act by a certain time after the budget resolution is passed to act on targets, and that is why we are acting on this today. Representative Bisgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and committee members, and Representative Dorman, you more than anyone else should know that getting to yes does indeed take some time.
Mr. Chair, you hear what he said.
Could you repeat yourself, Representative Bisgins?
I certainly will, and I'll try and talk into the mic down if it's working. Representative Dorman, you more than anyone else should know that after your most recent experience that getting to yes does indeed take a little bit of time.
Oh, Mr. Chair and Representative Bisgins, absolutely. But I'm flabbergasted why we're even having A and B, because there were 67 Republicans that wanted to create the size of a box on the House floor not too many weeks ago, and now we're sitting here with A and B, and I'm just confused. This should just be a slam dunk for the caucus, because I told Representative Knobloch, I said, all right, I'll vote with the team on this one, and now all of a sudden we've got angst and confusion. I don't get it. 67 Republicans said, here's the size of the box, I'm happy with it. Now all of a sudden we got guys that are unhappy. And I wonder why I'm cynical. I just am small town tire dealer. Smart guy, didn't go to Harvard.
Both option A and option B comply with the budget resolution that was passed. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to get a handle on the timeline here. And when I listened to Representative Solberg and Representative Carlson, I got more worried than I even was when I first got wind of this option A and option B. Do you mean to tell me that the omnibus bills are going to have to be put together before we know if it's option A or option B?
That's what he said.
Representative Greiling, I guess I don't know that for sure, but there is a possibility that we would not know, yes.
Well,
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. you know, I understand deadlines, and I understand what you're doing here, I guess, but because I noticed how very tired Representative Swigum was, I'm sure that there's a lot of trouble in your caucus to come up with any kind of consensus, and obviously you didn't and you couldn't, and so now we have this little mess here on our pieces of paper. option A and option B. But I certainly hope before we all have to, we all know how much time it takes to put together omnibus bills and how much discussion and trading and angst go into that. To have an option A and option B still while we're putting those bills together, I would certainly hope that your caucus could agree before we get to that point, because I think we'd be spending a lot of wasted time, and I worry that we would not get done. And I'm sure all of us, I know I did in my last election, heard more about the not getting done than even about the cutting of education for the first time in history. And I don't want to, have to go to church and go out in my community with that same situation again. So I would implore you to finish this up before you give us our next task of coming together with the omnibus bill.
Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chair, I don't want to add to the angst in the room, but I know the...
Or the confusion.
But in addressing Representative Solberg and Carlson in a couple of the areas, I know that there are three omnibus bills that have no difference in A or B and certainly can be done before or after any of the other funding options come forward, and that would be agriculture, transportation, and state gov finance are all identical, so that there would be some room to move some bills through because they're going to be the same under either provision. That's just what something I wanted to add, that there are some bills that are identical.
Representative Riccovino.
Mr. Chair, I'm just sitting here flabbergasted because, I always, every year I give the Bonehead Bill of the Year Award, but this has to be the bonehead idea of the decade. I have, why don't we have an option C, and that's when Earhart and Dorman come over to the Democrats and we get control of this body in a couple of weeks, and then we can have option C, and that'll be our numbers. But, I mean, this is, it really does border on the absurd to say that you're just following the House rules here. I don't know anywhere in the House rules where we have ever, in my entire career, and, Representative Anderson's been here many years, and Representative Carlson, where we've had a budget based on a possible passage of a bill, possibly in a few weeks, or maybe 3 weeks, or who knows how many weeks.
Well, Representative Riccovino, again, it's quite clear that option A is available and what we will be doing if that bill is not passed. So I think everyone knows that option A is a firm target that they can move toward. If people want to do the gaming bill of Representative Giskins and have additional money available, then you have some additional money to spend in option B. I think it's pretty simple.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, I'm hurt that the governor hasn't been talking to me about my slots and bars, because then we could have a lot of extra money to play with, and that could be option C then, or D. If we've already got C, that's when Earhart and Dorman come over.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Earhart.
If you have any 11 bars, I might come over.
Here you go, buddy, come on.
Representative Boginius.
Mr. Chair, though, to that point.
Oh, to that point, Representative Boginius.
I think I'm still on the list there, but I'm glad Representative Riccovino brought up the possibility of Representative Earhart and I jumping over, because I need to apologize, because we were in the bonding committee earlier and you had your bill there, and I made a comment about Representative Krenke, and it's probably unfair when I said that Representative Krenke would probably be happier in the minority and be pure than in the majority, based on his comments in the Star Tribune. And I shouldn't have said that in that committee that he'd be happier in the minority. I should not have done that, and so I want to apologize for saying he'd be happier in the minority. But I was trying to recruit members on Thursday to go over to make him happier in the minority, and the only one that signed up so far was Wilkin, and I'm not sure they're going to take him. I said, they've got their standards. But well, I do all representative, and the only issue I took, really, picked on Representative Greiling, and I've got my scarlet letter. I've got on my desk now, my tax and spend liberal. I don't know how long I have to wear that, but the only exception I really took about to the Krenke article was when he talked about my growth in office. I thought that was, a hit above the belt in this case. But
okay. Representative Boginius.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I haven't had one of those lemon bars, and I haven't had the sugar high yet. And I think maybe I should partake of one of them. I'm looking at option B with the Racino, and having a little trouble with the math here, so help me out. Our Constitution requires that 40% of lottery proceeds go into an environmental trust fund, and I don't see from this how much, or and I don't sit on the committee that's been considering this, how much is being carried to the environmental trust fund from this Racino proposal.
Let's see, I don't know. Mr. Marsh, you've got the fiscal note. Perhaps you could give us those numbers.
Mr. Chair, members, the fiscal note on House File 1664 would show the Environmental Trust Fund, and all of the activity begins in fiscal 2006, but in fiscal 2006 would receive $1,260,000, in 2007, $4,394,000, in 2008, $6,285,000, and in 2009, $6,285,000.
Mr. Chair. Representative Wiggins.
Do I take that to mean that the Racino proposal that we're all getting so excited about is not raising much more than $10 million a year?
Representative Aguinas, no, it is actually, the fiscal note shows that you would have, I think it's about $210 million for the biennium coming through the general fund as a result of the Racino in this case. And I know what you're getting at, and you know, there's this dispute of how you divide the 60% and the 40%. And some people feel one way about it under the law, some people feel another way. You know, I guess if you want to get into the details of that, I should maybe have Representative Biskins talk to you about it, because he can talk more of the details of that bill. Representative Wiggins.
Mr. Chairman, there isn't any really dispute. The language in our Constitution is quite clear, and it says 40% goes to the Environmental Trust Fund. And that's what the public understood. These are our voters. It's not been that many years ago. It was in 1990. And if the voters, I mean, we've got to be honest with voters. They believe that 40% of the money from any kind of gambling is going into the Environmental Trust Fund. So if I hear something over $100 million, I'm hearing $40 million going into an Environmental Trust Fund. Here's Representative Hackbarth trying to get another constitutional amendment when we're not even following this Constitution. I think the proposal you're carrying is illegal right now, and we should not be basing a budget on an illegal proposal.
Well, Representative Aguinas, again, there are many people who have a different point of view than you do about what the Constitution reads on that, and I guess I'd call on Representative Biskins, the author of that bill, to go into the details of it further.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't know if there's much details to go into. It is just, you know, lawyers sitting down and talking about what is the determination of net proceeds. There are some, a number, as you mentioned, Mr. Chair, legal opinions which say that the Racino proposal is indeed constitutional, all right, and there's others that say it's not. There's always the threat of lawsuits when it comes to any piece of legislation, beauty of our country. Anyone can be sued for anything, and you know, there would probably be one out. But, Mr. Chair, I think that adds to the credibility of what you're doing right here, all right, in this budget resolution, and why we should fully support the resolution as is before us.
Excuse me.
Representative Guinness.
This is not a debate between lawyers. This is looking at the Constitution, remembering what people voted on, remembering what people were promised. This has nothing to do with lawyers. This has to do with our own credibility and just reading the language of the Constitution. There is no interpretation that is necessary here. We know what the voters thought about in 1990. They were promised 40%. Anything else is trying to get around the Constitution and fooling the voters. It is illegal.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, why don't we pass on this?
To this point, Representative Rivera.
And it surprises me, Mr. Chair, when you talked about melding the governor's proposal in with the Racino, because we have an opinion from our own attorney general that says that the tribes, at least the tribe proposal, is unconstitutional, and my understanding is the Racino probably is as well, although the actual filing from the AG's office is on the tribes. So I would tend to agree with Representative Wagenius that your option B is probably illegal, and even more so would be bringing the two bills together.
Well, Representative Rivera, again, that is one reason we're approaching it this way, is we don't know what the form of a future bill that might be proposed by the governor might be. I do not believe there is an existing opinion against Representative Biskin's bill. I know that there are different attorneys who disagree on the legalities you're talking about. But that is one reason that people who don't like that can vote against the Racino or Casino or whatever form the gaming might be and still preserve option A. Representative Solberg, to that point.
Sure, thank you. I do want to respond to Representative Seifert's statement. And indeed, there are three of them in this that are the same in each one. And I guess, you know, if we pass those three, that wouldn't be a problem for me. I don't need the yellow button. However, I think there is an obligation to report these out of committee by the 22nd into Ways and Means. So the committees where public testimony is going to be taken, it's extremely important that they know which direction to go as well. And it's not just me sitting here in Ways and Means that, or in the House floor that I'm concerned about, but it's also as they put together the bill and vote it out of committee, a member may want to vote yes or no, depending upon which of its option A or B. And so I think you're putting members in a difficult situation. I want to express those both not only for myself on the House floor, but as for our committee members as they are putting these together. I set up the set on Representative Seifert's committee, and there wouldn't be any difference. So if you could pass that one, fine. But the other ones, as they come out of committee as well by the 22nd, you're putting them, those members, in a difficult position of knowing which way to vote on the final bill. If you had two bills, that'd be one thing. But I don't think you're saying you have two bills.
I'm going to recognize Representative Dorman, and then I would like to go through the various targets so that we have a chance to explain them and make sure that any questions about that are answered. Representative Dorman, did you have another comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering if there was someone from the governor's office or finance that could come down and talk to us about the construction of this new hybrid gambling proposal, and maybe shed light on when they could, you know, get it ready, and then we could vote in Representative Finke's committee. Maybe they've got it ready, and we could fire that tax committee up tomorrow morning before we go to the floor. If you're going to take this to the floor, then, you know, sure, clear this up. So would it be possible to have somebody come down and talk to us about how long before we'll have this hybrid bill ready?
Representative Biskins has waived that he'd like to be recognized, so maybe he has some information.
Well,
Representative Biskins.
I don't, Mr. Chair, but I just want a clarification. Mr. Chair, is option B solely contingent on the fiscal note brought forward on Racino and Racino alone and not on some hybrid change that may or may not occur on 1664?
Representative Biskins, the answer to that is yes. It is based on the Racino revenue estimate.
Well, Mr. Chair, then maybe you should ask Representative Krinke if you're going to hold a hearing in the morning, and we could vote at least on 1664, see if that passes out of the tax committee, then we'd know. And if there's a hybrid that comes up, we could still take action on that later. So that's a, I'm glad Representative Biskins brought that up. And so then I would think it would be prudent for us to, have a hearing tomorrow on 1664. Would that be possible so we'd know what's up before we got to the floor?
Well, you know how it is, Representative Dorman. I guess we'd have to see if all the authors are ready to go forward with their bills at this time. Sometimes when they have the votes, they're still not ready on that particular day. I don't know. We'd have to talk to them and Representative Krinke. Representative Dorman.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think we've got the author and the committee chair here on this committee, and so I think we could get that
hammered out right now. I would think. Representative Krenke, if you'd answer, would you be willing to have a hearing tomorrow on 1664?
Representative Krenke.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dorman, I announced in Tax Committee today to stay tuned the rest of the week that we may have additional meetings scheduled.
Okay. And then Mr. Chair, if you could ask Representative Bisgins if he's ready. He was ready last week. I assume because you said it was the governor's office that asked for that to be delayed, not Representative Bisgins, and so I would assume that Representative Bisgins is ready. We could have a tax committee hearing in the morning and find out where we're at on this.
Representative Bisgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Representative Dorman, I believe I'm ready. However, if this has been thrown at me in the next 12 hours or so, I'm going to ask that you give me some time to touch base with folks. Setting this all of a sudden would have been tantamount to telling your conference committee and you have till today. And if it's not done, then you're done. And I don't think that's very fair. You wouldn't have appreciated that. And I don't know why you're insisting on doing that to other people's legislation.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Biskins, Representative Miss, welcome to the club. We got these numbers. They were promised last night at 4:30. I actually came back to the office building last night. I was sitting at my apartment with my wife watching TV. I watched a little bit of the news, came back to the office building, I put my clothes back on, came back and thought, well, they still got the targets done.
But after you came back,
you were watching TV.
You'd appreciate that.
We do appreciate that, Representative Solberg.
Came back at 10 o'clock. Came back again this morning at 7 o'clock. They still weren't there. Went at 8 o'clock and asked if they were there. At 10 o'clock I asked if they were there. At noon I asked if they were there. Got them at 2 and we're trying to respond to these on the fly as well.
Representative Solberg, and just to clarify something you said, I believe on the floor yesterday I said that I would get them to you either last night or today. I'm sorry I got them to you as late as we did, but I don't think I ever committed to give them to you yesterday.
No, I understand that, but I just wanted Mr. Representative Bisgins to be welcome to the club.
Oh, Representative Bisgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Solberg, thank you. If you're part of the club, I know I'm in good company, but I just want to make it perfectly clear, Mr. Chairman, Representative Dorman, if that is the direction that I am given, that we will be hearing this bill tomorrow morning in taxes, I can assure you that I will work and do everything necessary to prepare for that bill. So I don't want people leaving here saying Bisgins is ducking the issue. I absolutely am not. If that's what you're going to do, then so be it. We'll put in the time and effort necessary to make sure that we're ready tomorrow morning.
Representative Dorman and Larson. Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Bisgins, you think you made the comment, you don't know why I'm doing this. I'm not doing it. Representative Knobloch is forcing the issue by bringing A and B here. So don't look at me, but look at Representative Knobloch. But you did say something curious there. If you're given that direction, who do we need to get that direction from so then we can go to them and find out if we're ready to have that hearing on Racino tomorrow?
Representative Larson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I hate to interrupt the back and forth here, but clarification. Representative Bisgins' question cleared up some of the questions that I had about the gambling revenues. This is clearly just casino dollars, and so this budget resolution assumes, or the underlying effect of this is that the governor's gambling bill and the tribal casino partnership is dead.
Representative Larson, what I would say is that if Representative Bisgins came forward with a bill, if Representative Bisgins came forward with an amendment that changed his bill and brought in some sort of combination between the northern tribes the governor has been negotiating with and the Racino, and that it provided a revenue estimate of at least the $210 million that is recognized here, that would be something that would fit into the parameters of Option B and would still be alive.
But one would assume, Mr. Chair, that if that were likely, then that number would already be added into the total.
Well, Representative Larson, my understanding is that the governor's office has been talking to the northern tribes, but they don't have a proposal yet. I know I don't have a revenue estimate, and I am unwilling to go forward with a budget based on a revenue estimate I don't have. Representative Abrams.
Mr. Chairman, I have a great deal of confidence that Representative Krenke will hear Representative Biskin's bill in the normal course of events. And, Representative Dorman, after what Senator Langseth did to you in conference committee, and after basically lying to you and you didn't take the time to check it out, and you have to get up on the House floor and apologize, for you to be going after Representative Biskins about when he's ready for his bill and Representative Krenke when he's going to hear a bill, really is a little bit out of line. So when you comport yourself in the way in which you wish others to be comported, Representative Dorman, well, then you have something to talk about. But you're basically trying to be half again too smart. You're trying to embarrass Representative Biskins, and quite frankly, I don't appreciate it.
Okay, Representative Dorman, I'm going to let you respond, and then I would like to go through the various targets by committee so that questions people may have will be answered. Representative Dorman.
Sure. Well, first of all, I say, Representative Abrams, I don't really care, I guess, what you think, to be honest with you. I mean, after that tirade, that's great. So whatever you think is fine with me, and you can move on. To set the record straight, Chairman Langseth didn't lie to me, but whatever. I know facts probably aren't important here, but Representative Abrams, I'm not putting Representative Biskins in the box. Representative Knobloch is by bringing the A and B forward, and we canceled the hearing last week. I don't know why I'm the bad guy for asking what's up with that, but I'm sorry if we don't want to talk about it. We're just supposed to put our head in the sand and deny what's going on. Okay, I can do that. That's fine. So that's what the residents in your district sent you here to do. That's not what the residents sent me here to do from my district, Representative Abrams. So you do it your way, I'll do it my way, and we'll see what happens.
I was going to start going through this, but Representative Krenke, do you have a burning comment you'd like to make?
I just want to make one point of clarification for anyone in the room or anyone who may be listening to this debate, and that is that I am not going to bring up any gambling bills without at least a 24-hour notice. I don't believe that would be fair to the authors. I don't believe that would be fair to the public or to anyone involved not to give appropriate notice of when we're going to have a hearing. So whenever the bill is scheduled, believe you me, it will receive proper notice to the public so that we do have a fair and comprehensive hearing on the legislation. So we're not going to be hearing it tomorrow morning without proper notice. Just for the to follow the rules and the procedures that are set out for notification.
Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, I don't think that it's unusual at all to be able to have a target that we're unsure of with regard to the revenues. As you recall, used to be around here that the last bill that went through was the tax bill. And so we spent the dollars, put them into the finance bills, added it all up, and then passed the tax bill. And so that's essentially what this option B is doing, saying here's the targets for you to work towards. It does take additional action by the legislature in order to make certain that the revenues are going to be provided in order to be able to make those targets. Then option A says, but if we're not able to provide those revenues, then this is the option A is the second one that we should be working towards. As a chair in a finance committee, I don't find it difficult at all for us to be putting together a bill that will meet the requirements of option B and then deciding that they're going to have to reduce that bill down to meet option A. That's essentially just continuing the discernment process. You got to start at the top with everything's in the bucket, and you start taking things out that are not high priorities, and you keep working your way down to where you find out what will remain that's in the governor's budget and what it is that you may want to add in or include that members have requested. And so it's the budgeting process, as we've always done it. It's just you'll have two stop points. One will be option B target. The other one would be a little further more reduction to reach option A. That's not, to me, a very convoluted process. It's the normal process. It may require a little more work and a little more frustration to get the option A, but then that gets us to recall as to why option B is before us, and that most of us would like to see additional revenues be able to provide those additional support for the activities that option B would provide.
Okay, members, at this time I want to make sure that people have a chance to know what we're talking about in regard to the different proposed appropriations for each finance committee. So I'd refer you to the chart that's in your packet. And going down the columns, option A and option B, I'll talk about them both at the same time so that people have a distinct understanding of the difference. Option B, again, being the option that involves the passage of House File 1664. In option A, we are proposing the same target for education as the governor. In option B, we are proposing an additional $134 million. However, members, what I will tell you is in option A, we are proposing as part of the education bill that we do $134 million on the education shift and put that money into more funding for education. And where do we come up with that $134 million? Members, since we adjourned roughly 9 months ago, we have had $268 million of additional state surpluses that have paid down the shift. When we left here, we were at 80%, 20% on the shift. We are now at 84.3%. This would go back halfway to 82.15%. And, you know, when I look at the revenue figures that came out yesterday from the Department of Finance, that shows that just for the months of February and March, we had an additional $73 million more than expected come in, which, all other things being equal, would go toward paying off the shift if that money is left when we get to the final, the next forecast in November.
Yes,
so, Representative Solberg, I'll recognize you. Go ahead.
To that point, and that's good news, and I hope it continues. But there's also some things we have to be cautious about in that. And for instance, in two areas, the sales tax receipts were $2 million above forecast, but the refunds, which are generally associated with business associations with the capital improvements, the refunds, were $12 million less. So I'm a little concerned that going out forward that business is indeed expanding in their capital improvements. In addition, in corporate taxes were $6 million below forecast, but again, refunds there were $12 million less than forecast. So there, be a little cautious on those numbers. One of the things that drives us long-term is to have business investment, and we track that with the refund program generally, if I understand that correctly. I just wanted to make that statement.
Sure, and I appreciate that, Mr. Solberg. Again, obviously, underneath the target, we're not spending that $73 million. I just point out that all other things being equal, that money would fall to paying down the shifts if we were to take another forecast right now. Members, one other thing I'd point out with the education shift that, you know, maybe is almost a flaw in the law that should be fixed is there was $56 million worth of education shift paid down, but I think a case could be made maybe shouldn't have been paid down. For example, there was $17 million of regional treatment center money that was supposed to be spent on some regional treatment center transition work by June 30th this year that is not going to be spent. That money then canceled to pay down the shift. However, it is going to be spent in this biennium. That project is still going forward. It's just been delayed. There is $56 million of items like that that canceled to pay down the shift in the February forecast for 2005 that we are reappropriating in 2006 to 2007. And I guess I just point that out as something that, you know, maybe a case could be made that that isn't really money that should have been paid down on the shift in the first place if we're going to just have to turn around and reappropriate it again. But moving on, members, again, option A, same number for K-12 education as the governor, E-12 education as the governor, but anticipating we're going to be going halfway back on the shift at $134 million, putting some additional money on the formula, other spending as the committee would desire. Option B, we wouldn't have the shift, I would assume. We would have $134 million of spending. Going to higher education, we have a budget reduction of roughly $23.5 million compared to the governor underneath option A. We would buy back $25.5 million roughly underneath option B. And the reason for that number, members, that rather odd number, is it's my understanding that is the number you would be at if you combine the forecast enrollment numbers for the MNSCU system and the U of M system and appropriated that amount.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Silberg.
I just want to make another point of clarification. As I understand the budget resolution, the $134 million that in education that you're planning to spend in the option B, so there's nothing in the budget resolution that would prevent that from being an option A as well.
Representative Silberg, we don't. You are correct that we do not specifically spell out what's happening with the shift in the budget resolution, but I wanted people to know that the plan of the majority with option A, even though it shows zero, is to spend some additional money in education to put some additional money on the formula.
But, Mr. Chairman, keep in mind that if the general public may think in order to get $134 million in education, you have to have gambling. And that's not the case. The budget resolution does not prevent you from having $134 million in option A, no matter what the budget resolution with, if that's what you're planning to bring that money from. So I just want that to be very clear.
I think, Representative Solberg, that you and I are agreeing and saying the same thing.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman, it was kind of the, I understand we're saying the same thing, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
But I want the public to understand that one of them is not determined because of the gambling or lack of gambling.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Hilke, I didn't see your hand.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think my question has essentially been answered, but I just want to put it in a more simple form. Is what you're saying here is that the bottom line outcome for K-12 education would be the same under either option?
Representative Hilty, no, I wouldn't be saying that, because in one case, the one case you would have the shift done, in the other case you wouldn't. In one case, there'd be $134 million that districts would have available from paying down on the shift that wouldn't be available underneath the other option. Representative Riley.
Mr. Chair, so if you had the Racino, you're not going to do the shift?
That is our proposal, yes.
Well, then I think Representative Fielty, Mr. Chair, is basically right in terms of the new money for schools. You know, the shift is obviously a factor for schools, but if you're talking about the line item here that you'd have under option A or B, I think you would be essentially right.
Well, I guess I would disagree with that, Representative Brown, because schools would, if you look at the accounting, actually have $134 million less. Representative Bradley.
I think, Mr. Chair, if I'm not mistaken, I think there is one other significant difference, and that is in option B, that's ongoing money. In option A, that one is one-time shift money.
Well, I think, members, some of this will come down to how the committee chooses to write the bill. And I guess I don't know if I want to get into a lot of details of that and say things that might be contrary to what the committee would wish it to be. I'm just saying to the public as we present this that it is our plan to do a shift of $134 million in option A in education, provide some additional money for education. Representative Secord, did you want to say something? I'm sorry.
Well, I would just say, Mr. Chair, first of all, I appreciate the 134, even if it has to come from the shift. And I've had a lot of conversations with superintendents and school officials. Being paid a few weeks later does not bother them in the least. They love the idea of getting more money this year on the formula or wherever we choose to put it.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify then what I think I just heard you say, that when you indicated you didn't want to get into the detail of the committee, and I assume you're talking about K-12 finance, then it's up to them on the shift under either scenario.
Well, Representative Carlson, I think that I suspect that leadership above me might give them some guidelines on what they can and can't do on the ship, or on some other things. You know how this works.
I do know how it works, but this is the Ways and Means Committee, and unless it's somehow overruled, your interpretation of our action here today is that we can use, or that committee, I don't happen to serve on it, can use that money under option A
or option B if you meant what you just said.
Well, my
that it was up to the committee, and you didn't want to micromanage the committee, and that they could choose whether to do the shift or not do the shift, and they could do that then under either scenario.
Representative Carlson, I don't think I quite said that. Let me just say that it is my opinion as chair that they should do a shift of $134 million, and it is our plan that they would do a shift of $134 million underneath option A to provide some additional funding for education. Option B provides $134 million, and if we're going to provide $134 million on ongoing revenue, I don't think we should be doing a shift.
Another way of putting that, then, Mr. Chairman, is being that the shift is something that fits within the budget resolution under either scenario, then if the K-12 Finance Committee chooses and sent over to the Ways and Means Committee the shift under whichever scenario they're working under, that bill would be in balance. It would not be out of order unless they were overruled by a higher order, whatever you're meaning by that.
Well, I think, Representative Carlson, I think you know enough about the process to know that if you spend shift money and shift by an identical amount, you still end up with a net target at zero. I'm going to keep going, members, because I want to make sure that we have a chance to go through all the targets, and then once we've gone through them all, it may answer some questions that people might have. Members, underneath the tax target, you'll see an option A. It's a positive $121 million. Option B, you'll see it's negative 89.117. And let me tell you where those numbers come from. As I mentioned before, the fiscal note on the Rescino shows revenue to the state in this biennium of $210,117,000. The option A, because the governor is counting $200 million of gambling toward his budget, and we aren't doing that bill underneath option A, you have to add back $200 million, which basically shows that in option A, then, being carried in the tax committee as we've carried gaming bills before, you'd have a negative $79 million, not counting the $200 million gambling issue. And if you look at the negative 89.117, that's just the difference of the $210,117,000 of money coming in underneath the gaming fiscal note and the $79 million difference. Okay. Representative Solberg.
Chair, in both of those cases, then, your this resolution would be asking that the tax committee cut $79 million from their target. Is that correct?
Representative Solberg, that is correct.
And so would we anticipate then the tax expenditures, things like aid to counties, local government aids, all the other aids. I know the governor is making some cuts in his renter's credit. The tax committee may look at additional cuts in renter's credit.
Let me speak to a couple of those things. Let me first say that we do not anticipate any cuts in local government aid as part of this. We do anticipate some additional compliance money that we have been talking to revenue about that is available. There are certainly changes that could be made in a number of other tax expenditure areas. The card club fee that we have passed before in this body is something that would be part of this. And I could go down a list of other possibilities, but I think I can speak with authority that we're not planning on cutting local government aid as part of this.
Mr. Chair, you're going to ask the State Government Finance Committee to do the expenditures for the additional revenue agents. Is that correct?
Representative Solberg, I think in that case you'll have to go through, you know, what exactly revenue is proposing, and there will be a bill on it. But certainly, yes, if there would be additional expenditures necessary for compliance, that would be something that would have to be carried in the state government finance bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'm on that. I don't remember. Maybe the chair of the committee, it looks like state government finance as we go down has cut $1 million, but in effect you are cutting that considerably more. I want to. I know. I think they raise a net of of $53 million, if I recall right, and I'm thinking off the top of my head, but I thought the expenditure was somewhat over $10 million, if I recall right, to raise that.
Well, but Representative Silver, the numbers you're quoting are from the current compliance initiative that
these are from the governor's. Mr. Chairman, that may be correct.
I mean, this is versus the governor.
So
if the governor had it in his budget, it's already in Representative Seifert's budget when you're comparing the difference between this proposal and the governor.
So you're doing additional compliances.
We're doing additional compliance beyond the proposal the governor had proposed.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it'd be kind of interesting to know what that cost is, because as we get then down to state government finance, if you're having an activity and one gets to spend the money and the other one gets to keep the money, that's a little bit unfair. I mean, I can understand it then if you have the expenditure in the tax bill as well. I mean, that's what it would seem to be a little bit clearer to understand.
Well, Representative Silver, I mean, custom and usage, that is, I believe, the way we've always done it.
Okay. All right.
Members, moving on to the Health Committee. I know there's a couple of members that want comments. I'm trying to get through this to Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a very brief question.
Sure.
Does the list that we were just discussing include the elimination of the political contribution refund program, and how much would that amount to?
Representative Hilty, if that was eliminated, it would be $10.5 million. The governor, I believe, did eliminate that in his proposal. That is, I guess, an issue that is up to the tax committee here. We don't, in making these numbers, we're not making any assumption one way or the other about whether it's eliminated. Representative Dorman. Oh, can wait. Okay. Thank you, Representative Dorman. Members in the Health Committee, we're proposing an additional $50 million underneath Option A, an additional $70 million underneath Option B. Members in Jobs and Economic Opportunity, we're proposing a target of a negative $72 million underneath Option A, a negative $57 million underneath Option B. And members, those seem like some really large numbers, and they are, but I would mention that there are some very significant federal dollars available here that the governor had not originally claimed in his budget. If you look at some TANF money, some other surplus money that's available, there's well over $50 million of money like that that I would guess the committee, although it is at their discretion, but I would guess that they would access to meet that target. In the Agriculture Committee, the numbers are the same. We don't vary from the governor's target. In the Environment Committee, underneath Option A, there's a negative $14.4 million. Under Option B, there's a negative $3 million. In Transportation, there's no change from the governor's target underneath either Option A or Option B. In Public Safety, there's no change from the governor's target underneath Option A. Underneath Option B, they would have an additional $4.5 million. In State Government Finance, there would be a difference of $1 million, a negative $1 million as compared to the governor in both Option A and both Option B. And members, finally, underneath Capital Investment, the bonding bill that we passed last week has $10,017,000 more in debt service to it than was originally forecasted in the governor's bill, and so we need to book that $10 million here. The other thing I mentioned, members, two other things. First of all, there is a difference of $75.559 million, which is the bottom number you see in the totals difference from the governor. That was, you may recall, in the governor's supplemental budget, he was proposing an additional roughly $75 million be put into a federal budget reserve. We didn't do that when we passed the budget resolution. That's where that money appears. And finally, we have always held out some money, usually $10 million, for other contingencies that come along in the past. Here you'll see the money held out on the other bills category for contingencies for other bills that come along for claims is roughly $5 million. Members, thanks for your patience in allowing me to go through that. I would stand for other questions. Representative Dorman, you had your hand up earlier.
Thank you, Chairman Krenke and Sol.
as Representative Abrams pointed out, I screwed up there on the bonding bill, and I don't want to do it again, so I better make sure I check everything out. As I understand the differences between A and B and the $200 million in gambling money, which may or may not pass, but is it a fair characterization to say the difference would be spent roughly this way? The first $134 million of the $200 million would buy back the education shift proposed in column A, roughly $25 million for higher ed, $20 million in the area of health and human services, $11 million in the environment, and $4 million in public safety. Is that roughly what you've said, Jim Nodler?
That is expected. It would also be an additional $15 million in the Jobs and Economic Opportunity Committee.
Mr. Chair, just so we're clear then, if a person were to have an opportunity at some point to vote for the Racino, we really wouldn't put an extra nickel into our schools. It would prevent the gimmick that is in there. So what you the first 134 really doesn't help our schools at all, except for the lack of the gimmick. And so you would have what, $66 million really in additional spending to do with that $200 million. Is that correct?
Well, no, I don't think it is, Representative Gorman, because I've heard from many people that they really like the bill we passed last year that automatically pays off money on the shifts. I know that there are school districts in some parts of the state that have actually had to borrow money and pay interest at a bank because of the payment shift and what that has done to them and how it's affected them. And so if you're a school district that's paying interest at the bank because of the shift and now we pay it off, it means there really is more money for education. So I think that if you are actually giving them $134 million in new money as opposed to doing the shift, it is better than just doing the shift.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Representative Dorman,
because I don't want to, you know, vote and screw up again on like I did on the bonding bill, are you going to check with the school districts so we know which ones, you know, are going to save all that money and how much money that is in interest, or are we just, should we call them, or what are you suggesting we do so we can make an informed decision, because I want to make sure I check it out.
Well, Representative Dorman, I don't know if you need to call every school district in the state. I think that it would take a lot of time, too. Remember, a lieutenant governor went out and visited everyone, and that took a while as well. I think it's more of a policy choice, Representative Dorman. You know, the education committee is going to be determining what we do with the additional $134 million, however that money is financed. You know, if you have particular concerns about how it's spent, I'd certainly encourage you to talk to Representative Sikora and the others on the committee. Representative Dorman.
No, I'm sorry.
I have your hand up.
I understood what we are doing with the money.
All right. Representative Dolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Sikora answered your question earlier, Representative Dorman. She said that the school superintendents she's talked to don't really care about the shift. They're anxious to have the money right away. And that's my experience, too. Whenever you talk to anybody that's starving, of course they're going to take the meal that's right in front of you, and they're not going to worry about any kind of mortgage or anything like that for the long term. So that is accurate. Representative Sikora is right about that. But whether we do the shift or not, that's what I was saying earlier, that it's $134 million for education, regardless of Plan A or Plan B, and then we have to factor in the shift, which at least the schools aren't going to complain about in the short term. But I, you know, for all these other things, and especially looking at health care, higher education, I just think it's a travesty that we have this kind of a gun to our head. I think it's kind of a threatening thing. You know, what do you want? Do you want to cut these things, or do you want to do Racino? Do you want to cut this, or do you want to do Racino? Do you want to cut that, or do you want to do Racino? And yet, just yesterday, we had the Center for the American Experiment report that was widely publicized yesterday, and I heard somebody on NPR from, I think, that report saying that doing more gambling is the devil's toboggan down the that's going down, in our morality in our state. And I don't know if I would put it that strongly, but that is how I feel. And so I really resent the framing of this question. We could have other frames here to decide, do we want to cut things or do we want Racino?
Well, Representative Brown, I guess practically speaking, I think if you pass the Racino bill or a gaming bill, we have additional money to spend. It will be spent somewhere. I think this is a way for people to understand where you're going to spend it. Some people don't want to pass any gaming bill. Some people don't think we should be spending additional revenue. Some people probably think that option A spends too much money. But to let people know what the choices and alternatives are, I think, is very reasonable, and that's one thing this resolution does. Other questions? Well, then, thank you for the questions, Representative Solberg.
I think there may be an opportunity for some amendments. Is that correct?
Representative Solberg, in terms of, you mean on the floor?
No, here.
Certainly.
Okay. I think we have some that we would like to consider.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment if this is the appropriate time.
Now would be the appropriate time.
And I'd like to have it distributed. I say I had an amendment. Actually, this one is being proposed by two of us. It's myself and Representative Greiling, and we both would like to make a few comments about it. One of the areas, as you know, that we have been quite concerned about, along with some others, is education. And there were some comments that were made about perhaps having an option C. And so I would like to offer up just that, an option C. But it's an option that I would describe as upfront. And what this particular amendment does is it takes and it puts $350 million more in both option A and option B. And what it does is it takes the money from the cash flow account, not from the reserve. I want to make that very clear. So it would not have any impact on our bond rating. But it would provide for our E-12 education programs then an additional $350. That number comes very close to the Dorman-Greiling amendment that we debated on the House floor. I think technically that was at $358. This is at $350. So those of you that supported that might want to give strong consideration to this proposal. The second part of the amendment, Mr. Chairman, then deals with the budget resolution to make this fit, and we would also adjust the overall budget resolution by $350 million as well, and that's the last part of the amendment. Mr. Chairman, before I yield to Representative Greiling that will comment basically on what we perceive as the needs of K-12 education, my comments having dealt with the numbers, I would like to be sure to request a roll call vote.
Roll call is requested. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, would like to support this amendment. Representative Dorman and I carefully went through what kind of money did we need to add to the budget that the governor put forward in order to properly fund education without having to take from health care, and this was the figure that we came up with. I also like the fact that it comes from the cash flow account. I'm very worried about the bond rating with this other bill. We shift the schools, and we also take the money in both Plan A and Plan B from the reserves. And Representative Knobloch said earlier that we preserve our bond rating because we automatically pay back all these shifty gimmicks. But we don't. You know, clearly we had them in the bill last year, and the first thing we did in this committee, my first week in this committee, was try to shift some more into schools to pay for some short-term deficiency bill. And now, in this proposal that you're coming up with right next after the budget from last year, you're shifting more on the school. So that kind of ruse won't work, I don't think, with the bond houses. I don't think we'll have any bond ratings that are AAA after this kind of trickery, a second biennium in a row. So I think for fiscal accountability and soundness, for education, or we don't have a shift, we properly fund it, and so that we don't have to take that education funding from health care, I strongly urge members to take a look at an option that doesn't include Racino and does do all these other good things.
Well, Representative Carlson and Greiling, as I'm looking at House rules, I'm tempted to say that I think your amendment is out of order underneath House rules. If you look at 4.03, paragraph F, it talks about the process for amending the budget resolution. What you're proposing to do here is amend the budget resolution by eliminating the money in the cash flow account, which is something that we had voted on as part of the budget resolution a couple weeks ago. And if you look at paragraph F, it specifically gives the process for amending the resolution, which is not what you're proposing to do now. Then if you would look at 4.03 paragraph B, it talks about the budget resolution and again makes clear the budget resolution just does three things. Sets the maximum limit on net expenditures, an amount in the budget reserve account, an amount in the cash flow account. If you're proposing to amend the resolution here, you of course have something with the targets involved with it. And so I guess I'd ask you to withdraw your amendment because I'm tempted to think, unless you've got some other advice for me, that this would be out of order. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, if you recall the very first day of session, we had a discussion, you and I, on the House floor of where we and what process we do to amend the targets and amend the budget resolution. And if you recall right, I had an amendment to bring the amendments back to the House floor. And you said, no, we should do those amendments in Ways and Means. If you recall the history of this as well, we have done and proposed these amendments last year as well to be able to change the budget resolution, the overall budget resolution, which contains the three things, the overall budget resolution that includes the cash flow account and reserve. It was adopted, but it's going to be amended here. This one is saying we're going to, as a committee, vote. You can vote it up or down, but we're proposing to take the cash flow account, which, if I recall right, 4 years ago, or maybe even 4 years ago, I think was zero. That we're not taking the budget reserve, but the cash flow account. Doing that amendment, and then shifting that in the second part of the amendment to education. I think the amendment's in order, and I think the request for a roll call is proper.
Representative Paymark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Some advice, if this is relevant or not. I had a bill dealing with income taxes that came up subsequent to our vote on the budget resolution in Representative Trinke's committee. He gave me a hearing on it, and I was concerned about this very issue because my proposal would have increased the budget resolution by $1 billion. So I called the chief clerk and I asked him about it, and I guess you just have to take my word on it. I said, what would be the impact of my bill subsequent to the actions of the House on the budget resolution? He told me that you can amend the budget resolution at any time during the legislative session as long as the amendment is approved by the Ways and Means Committee. So I think it's totally appropriate based on my, and I don't have the rules in front of me, I'm sorry, but based on my conversation with the chief clerk, that at any point during the legislative session, this committee can amend the House resolution.
Well, Representative Carlson.
I'll yield at this point to Representative Solberg, but I would like to have the floor when he's done.
Okay, I think what I'm going to do is since no one has registered, what I'm going to register a point of order underneath 4.03. I think it's quite clear that we have a process underneath 4.03 paragraph F for amending the budget resolution. It's quite clear that this doesn't follow it because it's proposing to put the it, because it's proposing to put the education into it. Here, if you're talking about House Resolution Number 8, it's quite clear that you can't amend the budget resolution as part of the targets, because the budget resolution itself is composed of just the three items that I mentioned earlier, and that's quite clearly spelled out in 4.03 subparagraph B. So I guess I would make that point of order, but I will be happy to listen. Representative Solberg.
I want you to look at the paragraph F, if you would be so kind.
Okay.
And the first sentence says, after the House adopts a budget resolution or a resolution setting limits, the Committee on Ways and Means may amend this resolution. After the House adopts a budget resolution, we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
The Committee Ways and Means Committee may amend the resolution.
If, yeah.
And there's not an and, it's an or. So one or the other has to take place.
Representative Solberg, that is true, but if you look at 4.03 paragraph B, it also says the House budget resolution must not specify, limit, or prescribe revenues or expenditures by any category other than those specified in clauses A and B, which is the maximum limit on net expenditures and amount in the budget reserve and cash flow account. If we would adopt this amendment, you would violate that rule.
Mr. Chair, we're not specifying that. What we're saying is we're taking the cash flow account. In the bottom, lines 9 through 13, I believe, on this one.
The budget resolution.
And then putting that into the education. I will have a huge protest if that we're not following the rules. And again, I point out the fact that I, on the House floor, the first day, said that if you're going to amend the budget resolution, that then bring it back to the House floor. And I had an amendment to do that, and you stood up and said, no, let's do it in Ways and Means when we do the amendments. And then the same thing is going to be true then for other ones, because you're going to have to probably amend your budget resolution.
But Representative Solberg, if you look back to 4.03 paragraph F, it talks about the process for amending the budget resolution. Basically, you've got to amend the budget resolution and get it amended on the floor to spend the $350 million before you can go ahead and spend it on the education funding that you want to spend it on. There's a process clearly laid out in F that talks about how a proposal is made in Ways and Means. It goes to the floor. Someone makes a motion underneath motions and resolutions. If they want to challenge it, there is a vote. You're proposing to make this all part of the same. I mean, what you should really do is come forward with a resolution saying, I want to spend the cash flow account. We bring that out to the floor if it passes the committee. If it passes on the floor, then we've got the additional money to spend, and we can come back here and spend it.
Yeah.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, you and I had a dialogue on this very issue on the House floor, and you assured me, you gave me your personal assurance that we would be able to do what we are proposing right here with this resolution. And I don't know if you recall that, but we had a dialogue back and forth, because this is the very point that I was very concerned about the rules, and quite honestly was one of the reasons that I voted against the rules when they were on the House floor, because of the concern that I had about our ability to do this. But in encouraging us to support the rules, when you and I had that dialogue, you said you have, Representative Carlson, my assurance that we would have this opportunity to make this vote here in this committee. And I have to tell you that I'm going to be very disappointed, not the politics of it, but just personally after that dialogue that we had relative to having this opportunity, because that was a very crucial part of that whole debate that we had.
Well, Representative Carlson, I guess, you know, I can't guarantee that I will remember every conversation I had with everyone the same way, but I guess I remember that the rules that we passed, as we talked about them, gave significantly more power to the minority than we had before. I remember giving you my assurance that underneath the rules you would have the power to bring forward changes in the budget reserve, the resolution out of Ways and Means, that you'd have a chance to make changes on the floor in the targets, but I don't believe I ever said that you could change the budget reserve and change the targets after we'd already made that decision in one simple step. I don't recall that. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, it says, if the committee amends the resolution, and that's what we're doing right here, that amendment must be reported to the House. How do we get a report to the House if this committee doesn't amend this resolution?
But Representative Solberg, it also says in 4.03b that the budget resolution can only set those three items, and it gives us the process in F for doing it. What you should do, Representative Solberg, if you're interested in taking the cash flow account, is you should bring forward a resolution saying, let's take the cash flow account, we'll see if that passes here. If it passes, we'll go to the floor, we'll follow the process in paragraph F. If it passes on the floor, we'll have the $350 million, and then we'll spend it. We shouldn't be doing it this way. Representative Franke.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I agree with your point of order here in the context that what the amendment does is it's trying to spend the money before the resolution would have passed the entire body. We can't, this committee can't change the budget resolution in and of itself. The budget resolution, if you change the budget resolution in committee, then it has to pass the entire House before this committee can expend the money. That's what Chairman Knobloch is pointing out. So you pass bring forward amendment to change the budget resolution. Then that needs to go to the full body. The full body votes on that. Then the Ways and Means Committee can meet to decide where it wants to expend that additional money.
Mr. Chair, Representative Keller.
Mr. Chair, I completely disagree with your point. I guess you're not surprised by that. And Representative Pinky, you are wrong about that point that you last made. So I point you to page 18 of the rules. It is not that the whole body amends this. What happens is this committee has jurisdiction over the House Budget Resolution, which was House Resolution Number 6. What happens at this point, if we did this tonight, which I'm sure we're not going to do, sometimes the other side likes to have it both ways. I guess that's the A and B option, but we can't vote on this tonight. What is happening here is that it would be reported out to the House floor of the Journal. If one member, and I'm sure Representative Krinke, you, I, anyone could stand up and object, but at that point, under these rules, there is no vote by the whole House. It is just reported in the Journal that the Ways and Means Committee made the change to the House budget resolution. There is nothing in this rule under B or F, and I have been through this. I spent 3 hours with Ms. Novak on this when we were going over the rules, when we were studying the rules for the vote on the House floor. We went over this again and again. There is absolutely no language, Mr. Chairman, that precludes us from doing this very move, which means we are both in the same resolution amending the House budget resolution as well as the targets. There is no language. Mr. Chairman, show me the language that precludes us from doing this. We are separately amending two House resolutions. And you know, I disagree firmly with the gentleman on the other side about how we do the amendment to the budget resolution. It goes out as a report in the Journal on the House floor. It is not a vote of the whole House.
Representative Hilty, or Representative Krinke, did you want to respond?
No, Mr. Chairman, I'd like your response as well, Mr. Chairman, about where the language is that precludes us from doing both of these things in the same motion.
Well, I think I already gave my response, but let me get back to you on that, Representative Krinke.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just briefly respond. I think it's quite clear under House rules that a committee cannot act. A committee can, you're right, that we can report something to the body. And it doesn't matter what it says in the rules, Representative Kelleher, in terms of the situation is... It doesn't matter what you write in the rule book as far as what you believe is going to happen. The point is that nothing
nothing that a committee does in this body is accepted until such time that the entire body acts. If you don't think that's the case, former Speaker Anderson, Representative Abrams, people who know more about the rules than I do can tell you that that's the way the situation works. Yes, if this committee were to report out an amendment, yes, any member can object, and then we'd have to vote on it.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Krenke, it would be a rejection. It would not even be an adoption under these House rules. Is the way that I read the House rules that we put in effect, what, less than 4 weeks ago?
4 months
ago? No.
4 years.
February 10th. Seems like.
2 months.
2 months ago. You can read the rules. It was a change from the previous way that we used to do this. And I believe there is no language in B or F that precludes from doing this method of amending both the budget resolution as well as the targets.
Mr. Representative Carlson.
Chairman, I've got... We did this very thing on 42803. It was the Carlson Amendment to House File 1404, which also, the discussion was education, was the omnibus education bill that was before us. And we made the motion to increase the target and then put, in that case, dollars into the 1404 bill. And we did, in fact, vote on increasing the target here in committee.
Was there a point of order made?
What you did, well, I'm not going to, how much coaching should I do you and how you,
well, I don't think
how you manipulated it last time. My point is that we had the vote on increasing the target.
Well, Representative Kelleher.
Mr. Chairman, I await your answer on what language precludes both of these happening at once.
Well, one thing would be, Representative Kelleher, if you pass this out, the rest of the targets would be very much in question in regard to the question on the floor of whether the floor would have the motion to adopt this or not. I mean, you have the roughly 2 days that you've got in here underneath the rules for the floor to act that would affect this.
So, Mr. Chairman, I don't see where that's a problem. We have two floor sessions scheduled in the next 48 hours. I don't see how that's a problem.
You know, I'm...
Mr.
Representative Solberg.
Then, if we're going to establish some precedents here now, and if I recall right, going back to the first day of adopting rules... And bringing it back to the House floor, and you're going to probably need to have some changes made in your target. I think if I recall right, in the last couple of years, as you go through, we made some small changes, and this ruling will determine whether or not this committee is going to be able to, in the ways and means, to make those small changes. Or do we then go to the House floor with all those, and we object to them? Because if you recall right, in the discussion, I said, well, let's bring the changes back. And you said, no, we should handle those changes in the Ways and Means Committee, and that's what we're doing here.
Well, so. Representative Solberg, I guess, you know, I want to be considerate of your point of view on this. And I want to try to work with the minority. There is a lot of different arguments you can make on the rules on both sides. But I think what I'm going to do is I think that I will withdraw my point of order at this time, though I may bring it up in a little bit here. And I think what I'll do instead is I'll divide your amendment between lines 8 and 9. And I'll vote on the question of whether we're going to reduce the cash flow account down to zero first.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I think that establishes at least a process that I can live with.
Representative Grilling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I hope that as we're dividing this, and everybody thinks
that by the first vote, you're not voting on education, because the next part, of course, will be ruled out of order when we get done with this first part. So this is the vote on education, members, and I hope everybody understands that. We're just going along now with another little game, because Representative Kelleher called the first one and knew the rules better than anybody in the room, and now we have another little tactic to not vote on funding for education. And I don't know, Mr. Chair, if we need a roll call on this one.
Yes, we do.
We do. Okay, I would request a roll call.
It's an automatic roll call since there's one on the main amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, members, I would just say I have heard many people talk about how there are problems with having too much one-time money, problems with affecting our credit rating. Members, if you vote for this, you might as well be voting to downgrade the state's credit rating right away. I mean, this is as clear a vote as you could ever have to just take $350 million, all the money the state has in its cash flow account, to manage its cash flow up and down, all the money the state has, taking it out of the cash flow account. Members, if you want to downgrade the state credit rating, this is your chance.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Krenke.
Mr. Chairman, as a former chair of Capital Investment Committee, as you have been, I would certainly agree. There's no question that the bond council doesn't just look at what our budget reserve is. They don't just look at what's in the cash flow account. It is an overall fiscal management. But I can I would assure you that we are looking at downgrading our bonds, our bond rating from the bond houses, if we were to take all of the cash flow account. And obviously, members, I think you also know and understand that there's a reason why they call it the cash flow account. There are ups and downs as revenues are brought into the state, as well as expenditures are made at different times of the year, those requirements. That's why we have a cash flow account, to avoid short-term borrowing for the state. So taking the entirety of the cash flow account, I'm not going to speak for the Department of Finance, but I would assume that the Department of Finance may indicate to us that this would require the state to do some short-term borrowing at different points during the budget cycle.
Representative Rukavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, I don't agree with you at all that this is going to affect what happens with our credit rating out east. I would say that they're probably going to be more concerned about option A and option B in deciding whether we're going to fund this state with gambling. And, you know, they're probably more concerned about the fact that Minnesota's had four, or projected to have 5 years of deficit spending. They're probably more concerned about a number of other items that we've faced over the last several years here in Minnesota. So I don't think that the Carlson-Greiling Amendment is going to hurt our bond rating at all. I mean, there's a number of other things that have gone on in the state of Minnesota that we should be much more concerned about here today than this.
Representative Dorman.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I really wish you'd withdraw your division. I'm not sure what the big concern is. There were 67 Republicans on the House floor that liked the size of the box you created, so I'm not sure what the fear is out of voting on it. So I'm not sure why you don't just withdraw it and vote it up. I mean, I told you before I'll vote with you on this one, so you should now have 68 Republican votes. This should whistle right through. I don't know. You know, while we're monkeying around with the gambling and all this stuff, I'm confused again, Representative Knobloch, but what's with the division?
I'd like to have a clear vote, Representative Dorman. Representative Andevere.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think the division is perfectly appropriate, because it only makes sense that the first thing we do is if we're going to vote to spend more money, to determine where we're going to get it from. Then we can decide if it's for education, nursing homes, programs for the disabled, or what. So I think this amendment, first of all, is appropriate.
Representative Sikora.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. From everything I could understand here, this is $350 million for education. You know, you can use some one-time money in education, but I remember when Ventura was first governor, and we spent, I believe, $1 billion for education in the first year of the biennium. We came back the next year because they said they needed more. We put another $1.7 billion, $170 million into education again, telling them it was one-time spending. It never happened. They put it all into things like salaries that are ongoing that they were really stuck with and have been kind of stuck with ever since, because it was kind of the beginning of their constant having to borrow from, or I shouldn't say borrow, but having to make cuts in their budget because they took that as full-time spending. Now, if we take all the cash flow, we are obviously going to be borrowing then from the reserves. Borrowing from the reserves seems to me it's an automatic. We're in big trouble with the bonding houses. And we just passed a huge bonding bill. Huge. Now, why would we want to do this to ourselves?
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. Representative Sikora, a child only has one chance. The child only has one chance at getting the right start in education. This could pay for a lot of kids going to all-day kindergarten, and that child has a good start. So you don't go through kindergarten more than once, but you are giving a lot of children a great opportunity.
Well, members, there will be a lot of kids in the future that have less money for education due to the extra interest we'll pay after our bond rating is downgraded, too. Clerk will take the roll. On the divided amendment, we're voting on resolution amendment lines 9 through 13 on whether or not to decrease the budget, the cash flow account by $350 million.
Knobloch?
No.
Dempsey?
No.
Abler? Abrams?
No.
Anderson?
Aye.
Beard?
No.
Bradley?
No.
Diskins?
No.
Carlson?
Aye.
Clark?
Yes.
Norman?
No.
Doran?
Yes.
Earhart?
No.
Grayling?
Yes.
Gunther?
No.
Hamilton?
No.
Hilty?
Yes.
Holbert?
No.
Huntley?
Yes.
Kelleher?
Yes.
Lindsing?
No.
Krenke?
No.
Larson?
Yes.
Mariani?
Yes.
McNamara?
No.
Nornes?
No.
Otramba?
Yes.
Osmet?
No.
Tamar?
Yes.
Rukavina?
Yes.
Ruth?
No.
Seifert?
No.
Smith?
No.
Solbert?
Yes.
Sikora?
No.
Vandeveer? Wagenius?
Yes.
And Walker?
Yes.
There being 16 ayes and 21 noes, the amendment fails. And Representative Carlson, I believe your amendment is out of balance now. Do you want to withdraw your amendment?
When you asked me to coach you a little bit ago on what we did 2 years ago, or a year ago,
I always accept all coaching, Representative.
But you solicited what we did. Now you're on the second step, and so I will do what I did 2 years ago, and I'll appeal the ruling to the chair and ask for a roll call vote.
That's what I did
last time, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry. What ruling, Mr. Representative Carlson?
Oh, I thought you were going to rule. You asked if I would withdraw it.
No, I'm not going to withdraw it. You're not going to withdraw it.
No. Then you'll take the next step that you took a year ago. I was getting a little bit ahead of
that. Okay. All right, just so we got everyone.
I guess I am coaching you now.
Well, process is important, Representative Carlson. I had not made any sort of ruling, so I just wanted to make sure.
Anticipating that we'd revisit last year.
All right. Well, I will rule that this is out of balance under 4.03. We're required to have balance. If you're going to put in additional spending, you've got to take it from somewhere. There's no place where you're taking it here, and so that would be my ruling. And you'd like a roll call vote. Is there any other advice?
Vote with us.
Vote with us, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
There's a roll call.
Okay. Well, members, Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, wouldn't it be fair to give them an opportunity to balance the amendment?
Representative Colbert.
Mr. Chair, we did.
We voted it down.
You voted the balance down.
Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara.
Well, we voted lines 9 through 13 down. 10 minutes. Maybe they want to rebalance it with somewhere else.
That's a little indicator about taking a vote.
Well, I don't hear them coming forward with any proposals to rebalance it. Are there any? I don't think so. Are there, Representative Carlson?
Mr. Chairman, you have my proposal before you. The Riley Carlson proposal before you.
All right. Okay, well, then the question is, you know, the ruling of the chair is it's out of balance underneath House rules. The question is, will the ruling of the chair be upheld? A yes vote upholds the ruling of the chair. A no vote does not uphold the ruling of the chair. Clerk will take the roll.
Not Black.
Aye.
Dempsey.
Aye.
Abler.
Aye.
Abrams.
Aye.
Anderson.
No.
Beard.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Iskins.
Yes.
Carlson.
No.
Clark.
No.
Durman.
Maybe. Yes.
Doreen.
Obviously.
Earhart.
Yes.
Bradley.
No.
Gunther.
No.
Yeah.
Hamilton.
Yes.
Dilkey.
No.
Obert.
Yes.
Huntley.
No.
Kelleher.
No.
Klinzing.
Yes.
Frankie.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Mariani.
No.
McNamara.
Yes.
Nunes.
Yes.
Wakemba.
No.
Osmet.
Yes.
Hamer.
No.
Rukavina.
No.
Bruce.
Yes.
Seifert.
Yes.
Smith.
Aye.
Solbert.
No.
Sikora.
Aye.
Vandeveer.
Yes.
Wagenius.
No.
Walker.
No.
There being 21 ayes and 16 nays, the ruling of the chair is upheld. Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, I am offering to put the cash flow account into the tax target. I know what a spendthrift that, or what a spender Representative Pinky is, and this could help his congressional campaign. But seriously, members.
Representative, are you endorsing Representative Krinke?
I think that'll help you, Mr. Chair. See, I'm playing this both ways. But anyway, kind of like an option A and an option B, you know. So, but members, if you look, the targets here require Representative Krinke to spend $79 million less than the governor, and you know the governor is already eliminating programs like renter's credit. I believe is that $30 million, Mr. Marks, or $40 million a biennium, whatever it is. It's a significant number. The $79 million, we could restore the cuts in local government aid that were made permanently 2 years ago. I don't know, Representative Knobloch, you said that you can assure this committee that local government aid isn't going to be cut anymore. And I don't know where you find $79 million in the tax bill to cut our police and fire departments, and many communities across this state have been hurt severely. The property tax increases are significant from Albert Lea to International Falls and everywhere in between. And we have put such pressure on local units of government that I am really frightened at what $79 million more will do. We've got to get this state back on the right track, and certainly making sure that our police and firefighters aren't cut anymore is something that we have to protect here this evening. Local government aid has been a big issue to Representative Dorman and others on both sides of the aisle. We could restore those cuts that are continuing to happen because of the limits for cuts in the LGA formula that was passed a couple years ago. And so I would ask for the members' support, and I'll ask for a roll call vote on this also, Mr. Chair.
Representative Rukavina, let me say a couple things. First of all, there is a significant compliance initiative that I would say would account for about half of the budget reductions that are being proposed for the tax committee. There are other ways to get to it without cutting any local government aid. I don't propose myself to support cutting any local government aid. Of course, it's up to the total tax committee what would happen. But I just want to tell you that because I know it's a concern of yours and you expressed it and wanted to assure you of that. But Representative Rukavina, this amendment is basically same thing we just had a few minutes ago. Guts the cash flow account, takes all the money the state has to balance its cash flow, brings it down to zero, drops the state bond rating. I would tell you I believe that would happen as a result of this. No guarantees, but you're taking all the state cash flow reserve money. And members, I would divide the amendment between lines 8 and 9. And I'll go to Representative Dorman next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's the second time you've talked about the bond houses downgrading the bonding. Are they going to do that based on the actions of the House? I mean, it would actually have to be enacted into law, I think, before they did that. So I think you're a little bit premature in calling for the downgrading of the bond houses. You know, it's no different, really, than the A and B, you know, because we don't know what's going to happen there either. So, I think we're all kind of saying this might happen. I don't think the bond houses are going to say, good God, there was that vote in the Ways and Means Committee in Minnesota. We better send them down to double B.
Well, Representative Dorman, I think you're right in terms of what happens in the end is what is probably more important to the bond houses. But having said that, I think we're coming up with proposals here, at least that's what I'm here for, to try to solve the state's budget difficulties and try to pass something that will actually become law in the end. That's what this is all about. And so I guess if we're looking at having this vote, I think it means something, and I guess it means something to me. I think it's a bad idea to take all the money out of the cash flow account. Representative Dorman.
Mr. Chair, one more question, and I'll try to sit on my hands for a while.
Not your hands that are bothering me.
Dang, I didn't know what it was. If we ever actually get done voting on all this stuff and we come up to the resolution, do we get the vote? Is that A and B thing divisible, or what happens there?
I'll wait for your... We'll wait for that day, Representative Dorman, or that hour. That'll be later today.
I'm curious, is that divisible?
I would guess so. Representative Hilty, I'm sorry, I overlooked you. Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of observations. Back when Chief of Staff McElroy was the Commissioner of Finance, I think 2 years ago, in state government finance, I asked Commissioner McElroy what the consequence would be of the lowering of the state's bond rating. I mean, what would that actually cost us? They said he couldn't say exactly, but it would probably be maybe around $1 million a year. We keep talking about this as if it would be a great disaster, but in fact, it doesn't amount to very much. The other thing, perhaps you could refresh my memory on this, Mr. Chair, but wasn't there a proposal 2 years ago to eliminate the cash flow account and to manage cash flow out of the budget reserve?
Mm-hmm.
Seems to me that was actually a part of the governor's budget proposal, wasn't it not?
Representative Hilty, I guess I don't recall all the details of it. I truly don't. You certainly, I suppose you could put it all in the budget reserve, make the budget reserve bigger, and handle it that way, too, with some other statutory changes. But I don't recall that specific proposal. Representative Silver.
Sure, I have to go back in memory a little bit, and my memory's fading as I get older, but if I recall about 4 years ago, the budget resolution had a cash flow of zero in it.
Representative Solberg and I believe we were downgraded by one of the main agencies.
Well, there's been talk about one-time money and everything else, and I don't think we were downgraded because of the cash flow account.
No.
And but I think the cash flow account in the budget resolution was zero. They were using other accounts for that, and then the next year you took those accounts as well. The tobacco was one-time money that was spent for ongoing.
Representative Seifert, Rukavina, and then Carlson. Representative Seifert.
Well, Mr. Chair, I heard from someone, I don't know if it's Representative Greiling, about an hour ago saying how horrible it would be to do option B because their bond rating would be downgraded. I'm not a particularly big supporter of gaming, but what is it a disaster and horrible to have the bond rating downgraded, or is it not? It's okay to do one and not the other. I'm just trying to figure this out. But I think any average person listening would think it's irresponsible to take your checkbook, particularly when you're supposed to be paying over 30,000 state employees, and take your checkbook down to zero and assume that everything's going to be okay. The average person understands that.
Representative Rukavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Seifert, I think Representative Hilty just pointed out a good observation, and that is you folks proposed to do it sooner. And I'm old enough, and there's only one member on your side that can remember this right in this room, and that's Representative Osmond. And I can remember when I first got elected, Representative Swigum and former Schreiber, Representative Schreiber, ridiculing Governor Perpich and us for keeping people's money and having cash flow and budget reserves. They ridicule. They'd sit in Ways and Means, they'd sit on the House floor, and they'd ridicule us. We were keeping the people's money out of their pocket, and now you're the ones following Rudy Perpich's lead, which is fine with me. I mean, he was probably the greatest governor we ever had. Not because he was a Ranger, but just because he had some, great ideas that have been proven to be correct. But anyway, back to this. So you can talk about, bonding and everything else and our bond rating, but the fact of the matter is if you vote against this amendment, you are voting for property tax increases all across the state of Minnesota. There's absolutely no doubt about that here tonight. And so if you want to vote for property tax increases, vote with the chair. If you want to vote keeping property taxes down, if you want to vote for safety for your communities and police and fire and those types of things, then vote for my amendment.
Representative Carlson. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just briefly wanted to respond to Representative Seifert. The problem is, because we didn't pass the Dorman-Greiling Amendment on the floor, we are left with these lesser options, as we knew that we would be. You know, if you want to add money to something, you have to take it from something else. And this is the kind of problem that we're in. So that I don't want anyone listening to think that my first choice, Representative Seifert, would be to do this type of an amendment either. But in order to get money for good things, you have to find it somewhere. And we boxed ourselves in, as Representative Dorman has mentioned a couple times.
Representative Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rukavina, you said that this would raise property taxes if I didn't vote for this in my district. How would it do that?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Rukavina.
Representative Vandeveer, there's no way you can find $79 million in the tax bill that isn't going to affect some type of program that gets state funding. Remember, the tax bill spends a lot of money. It spends money on LGA, it spends money on county reimbursements, it spends money on disparity aid, it spends money in the education bill, it spends all kinds of money, and he is given a target of $79 million less. I'm also adding money adding money above and beyond that so we don't cut renter's credit. Programs like that. But I will answer your question because I don't know your district that well, and I don't know what's going on in your district. You have a pretty growth district, That's the place I drive through where I see 10 new houses every time I drive by.
You never stop either.
Right, in a cornfield, what used to be a cornfield, and then we're worried about, you know, the environment, but that's a whole other story. But I would say that, you know, you're raising property taxes without doing this because he, Representative Pinky, is going to have to make cuts, and you can't make cuts without creating property tax increases because that's what he funds in the tax bill.
Representative Abrams.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, I have here the employer survey of Minnesota non-farm employment. In January of 2004, local government employed 289,000 Minnesotans. In January of 2005, they employed 291,000 Minnesotans. So local government employment somehow has increased. Representative Rupavina, I don't have the actual KO5 in front of me, but one thing that I found striking, members, is that an area of the state that showed property taxes declined were Taconite cities. I don't know how that happened, Representative Rupavina. It must have been magic.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Abrams, I will bring you my tax bill, and I will show you my tax increase, okay? And then I will bring you a few other ones, and I will show you tax increases. So I don't know where you're looking at. Virginia did not levy back last year, so you're probably looking at that. But I can show you where I live, and I can show you other communities where property taxes are going up significantly. And we've cut, and we've cut, and we've cut. And there isn't any place to cut anymore. And that's the fact of the matter, Mr. Chair. And as far as the employment numbers with all the bills you're passing here, throw people in jail, maybe those are new police officers. There's certainly new court people in the courts. So, you know, they're still on the payroll in St. Louis County as local employees. We haven't taken over them with the state takeover of the courts yet up there.
Representative Fulberg.
Mr. Chair, just a clarification. In the base of 0405, as we passed it out, the cash flow account was zero. We did restore it with over the years. The reserve account, I think, was also, instead of 653, was 4-something, as you guys passed the budget resolution 2 years ago.
Well, members, again, I don't think it's a good idea to completely eliminate our cash flow account, our cushion for variances in the state cash flow. Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll on the divided amendment, page 1, lines 9 through 13, on whether to decrease the cash flow account from $350 million to zero. Clerk will take the roll.
Not Black?
No.
Dempsey?
No.
Abler? Abrams?
No.
Anderson?
Yes.
Beard?
No.
Bradley?
No.
Diskins?
No.
Carlson?
Yes.
Clark? Thurman?
B. No.
Dorn?
Yes.
Earhart?
No.
Railing?
Yes.
Okay.
Gunther?
No.
Hamilton?
No. I'm not the
guy. Guilty?
Yes.
Holbert?
No.
Huntley?
Yes.
Kelleher?
Yes.
Glensing?
No.
Grinke?
No.
Larson?
Yes.
Mariani?
Yes.
McNamara?
No.
Nernis?
No.
Otremba?
Yes.
Osmond?
No.
Hamer?
Yes.
Rukavina?
Yes.
Ruth?
No.
Seifert?
No.
Smith?
No.
Solberg?
Yes.
Sikora?
No.
Vandeveer?
Maybe?
No.
No.
Wiggenius?
Catching on for tomorrow.
Wiggenius?
Yes.
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Okay. There being 15 ayes and 21 nays, the amendment is not adopted. And Representative Rukavina, do you want to withdraw your amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just don't want to challenge this dictatorship anymore. I know the emperor's going to win. So, you know, actually what I could do is I suppose I could make a motion to find the money in the tax bill by taking the all that money that Edina and Minnetonka got in the 01 property tax, school property tax takeover, but I won't do that because I know I'll lose two votes for sure. I'll just withdraw it, and we can get to the Ranger Party sooner.
Sounds good to me, Representative Brookavina. Representative Huntley has an amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'll move whatever it is, 86-6. This is same song, third verse. It uses $350 million from the cash flow account and puts it into the Health and Human Services budget. As most of you know, the Health and Human Services budget in the governor's proposal was about 4% less than the base budget. And you may remember that 2 years ago we repealed the laws of inflation. It's too bad we can't repeal the laws of gravity. It would make our budget a lot easier. But we did repeal the laws of inflation, so that base budget does not include any inflationary increases. So the actual decrease in the Health and Human Services budget proposed by the governor is probably more on the order of a 10% cut. If you look at what this budget is doing, it's short-sighted. There's no vision about where we want Minnesota to be. The governor himself has said that at least two meetings I've been at that he realizes that some of the things we are doing in this budget are not what we should be doing, because he understands that we're simply shifting costs someplace else. The budget 2 years ago in Health and Human Services resulted, according to the Department of Human Services, in 38,000 people not being covered by health insurance. And these are hard-working American families that lost health insurance. This budget, according to the Department of Human Services, will cost 22,500 people their health insurance. And again, these are hard-working people, most of whom have never been on welfare and certainly don't want to be on welfare. The proposal this year is to basically eliminate adults without children from the Minnesota CARE program. And if you want to know who those people are that are eliminating, the predominant people on Minnesota CARE that are adults without children are female, they're middle-aged, and they're from rural Minnesota. Most of them are 50 to 65 years old, not eligible for Medicare, and they're working in jobs that don't give them health insurance. They have been paying their premiums, and now we're going to eliminate their program. The total of the two-year-ago budget and this year's budget is at least 60,000 people losing or not being covered by insurance that would have been covered. You should also know that the Department of Health and the University has come out with a report that shows the uninsured rate in Minnesota has gone up for the first time in 10 to 20 years. We've gone from about 5.5% uninsured to about 6.5%. Again, these are hardworking American Minnesota families that are losing health insurance. This amendment, the $350,000, would allow us to do a number of things. One, we could reverse the damage that we did to Minnesota CARE 2 years ago. We could prevent the damage that the governor is proposing this year. Thirdly, we could protect the Health Care Access Fund, which now has a projected surplus of $204 million. The governor, again, wants to do what he did 2 years ago. 2 years ago, he stole $470 million from the Health Care Access Fund and put it into the general fund. This year, he wants to not only take that surplus of $204 million and spend it on programs that we used to fund out of the general fund, but he also wants to build it up higher by eliminating adults without kids from health care. This amendment would allow us to undo that damage, provide health care to hardworking Minnesota families, and protect the health care access fund from being raided for general fund activities. And lastly, it would allow us to prevent the governor's proposed 5% cut in reimbursement rates to hospitals, which saves our budget only $51 million, but it costs hospitals, because of the federal matches and doubling of matches, $142 million. If you look at what happened in the last year, uncompensated care paid for by our hospitals, people come in. You know, when you kick people off of programs, they don't go away. They don't leave the state. They still go to the hospital. And thank God in Minnesota they still get treated. But that, what we did 2 years ago, caused the hospitals this last year to have a 28% increase in uncompensated care. Just look at Hennepin County Hospital. They went, and they're projecting that they will go from a $20 million deficit to a $30 million deficit. That's a 38% increase because of what we did 2 years ago. If we do this, it's going to be worse. And what happens? What do these hospitals do when they have these costs? If they're a public hospital like Hennepin County or a number of other hospitals, the property taxpayers pick it up. The last year in Hennepin County, the property taxpayers paid $19 million of that $20 million deficit. Are they going to cough up $30, $40 million a year for the deficits that we're going to cause here? We can prevent that if we pass this amendment. I urge your support. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd like a roll call.
Well, Representative Huntley, I will move to divide this amendment between lines 8 and lines 9 on page 1. Representative Bradley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would be tempted to counter everything, but I understand some people would like to get to an activity. So let me just comment on sort of two items. First of all, Representative Huntley speaks to not keeping up with inflation. What he forgot to tell you was that the governor's budget increases Health and Human Services spending by 15%. Now, by my last count, that's three times the rate of inflation. Three times the rate of inflation in the governor's current budget. President Huntley's amendment would increase up to five times the rate of inflation. Now, members, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that that's the way we consume, so we can't spend anything really for education ultimately and all the other obligations. We're being blind here to a reality, and to say that we don't count for inflation is really an error. The other thing that is really, I think, almost borders on cruel is to say that with $350 million of one-time problems, we're going to solve that litany of problems that was just mentioned. Well, that's one time. And a year or two from now, what are we going to do with that? We can't afford them because it's three times the rate of inflation. We can't keep up with that by any stretch. I just think that this is a fiscal reality that doesn't make any sense. This is sort of a fantasy world. I could get into all the businesses about how generous our taxpayers are and everything. But from a fiscal point of view, this ignores the reality of the huge inflation and the fact that we've got to do something to bring these costs into check.
Representative Huntley.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to respond to reality and fantasy worlds. Let me tell you about one person that's not a fantasy and is living in the rural, real world. Her name is Kathleen Kirstein. She lives in Duluth. She's a home health care provider. She provides health care in homes, and she gets about $10 an hour, no benefits. So she was on Minnesota Care, trying to buy a house, working, 46 years old. Turns out she's had diabetes for 40 of those 46 years. She had a pancreatic transplant on December 26th. She has not used any insulin since that operation. So the surgery worked. She's producing the correct amount of insulin because of the transplant. She was not working because she was recovering from this operation. And the trouble with that, and Representative Bradley, you ought to think about reality, and you ought to think about fantasy. There she is. She needs $3,000 a month in anti-rejection drugs so the her antibodies don't kill the transplant. In the middle of February, she gets notified that she's used up her $5,000 cap on MinnesotaCare because of what we did 2 years ago. And she calls me in tears, and I send her to some people that advise unfortunate working people like her what they can do, and you know what they did for her? They got her on general assistance medical care because she had no income because she wasn't working. So general assistance medical care paid for her anti-rejection drugs. And that went on for about another 2-3 weeks. And she started to feel a little better from the surgery. And guess what this person had the nerve to do? Kathleen had the nerve to go back to work. Can you imagine that, folks? She went back to work. $10 an hour. She's only working half time because she's not feeling that well from the operation. $10 an hour, that's about $10,000 a year working half time. Guess what they told her in the middle of March when she did that? You're making too much money to be on general assistance medical care. And I said, well, I suppose they explained to you the spend down principle. And she says, yes, they did. I'd have to take my income for the month and pay all of my medical bills until I have $582 left. $582 left. And then she said to me, my mortgage is $542. So here's a woman that wants to go back to work, wants to participate in our society, wants to own a home, for God's sake, and we're telling her, get out of the workforce, go on welfare, and then we'll take care of your health care. But if you work, tough luck. This bill, or this amendment, would have fixed the situation for Kathleen. And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to withdraw my amendment.
Representative Huntley withdraws his amendment. Representative Solberg. Representative Solberg asked for a roll call on House Resolution Number 8 as amended. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dorman.
I'm just seeing what's like over here just in case I find somebody else to come over with me to make people happier. Yeah, I've already had one.
Is that an announcement, Representative Dorman?
Yes, it's very close. I'm getting the message. I'm slow, but I get there. I like to divide it. I want to vote on A and B separately, Chairman Knobloch.
Well, we're going to vote on both of these.
Could you state your division, Representative Dorman?
Well, I'm not. Be on page 2 of the amendment, Mr. Chair, between lines 14 and 15.
You know, Representative Gorman, I see other language throughout the resolution as amended that refers to option A and B. I don't know if you can simply divide it at that point. I guess, to be honest, Representative Roman, I really haven't thought about this issue, but, you know, I see language appearing on page 1, line 12 and 13, talking about option A and B. I see language on page 1, line 9, talking about option A. I see language on page 3, lines 3 through 5, talking about options A and B. I don't know that it's divisible, Representative Dorman.
Right. Well, Mr. Chair, what I would suggest is that we could divide it, and if only one of them, you know, with the sometimes at the bottom, I see the end changes as necessary to make it work. I think conceptually you understand what I'm driving at. If you don't want to vote separately on it, I understand that, then say that. But I think that I would rather have a vote on option A. I don't like option B because I don't know that what it's going to be yet, you know, and I don't want to fire anybody up by going down that road again. But as I understood you described the $200 million in gambling money, you know, really the first $134
million,
the only money that might be saved there for education is some possible interest expense. And so, you know, I don't like that option B for a lot of reasons. And so I was hoping that I would kind of vote for a resolution here. I'd be, you know, vote with the team there, Chairman Knobloch. But I guess I understand why you wouldn't want to let people vote on that, too. So I get the message.
Well, Representative Dorman, you know, I don't know that I would necessarily be against that, but I didn't think about it that much in putting this together. But if you look at Rule 3.03 of House Rules, it says a member may request the division of a question that contains more than one separate and distinct point. A motion to strike and insert is not divisible. So, you know, you can't, I don't think, under the rules say, well, I want to divide it here and I want to do other striking and changes to make it conform. It's not like a regular amendment, Representative Dorman.
Well, Mr. Chair, then it'll probably take a little longer because, you know, I don't want to screw up again like I screwed the bonding bill up. But why don't we walk through the amendment then and we'll talk about what we can delete the $200 million that we really don't spend a lot on, and I'll just delete that out. That'll leave us with A, and we should have a clear vote. So I guess we could do that. It'll just take me a little bit longer. I apologize. I would have had that ready. That's why I was kind of asking you earlier, because I know folks want to go. So if we go through this...
You want to, Representative Berman, I've got other people that want to speak.
I'll work this out with someone and other people.
Okay. Representative Anderson.
What would you have us vote on, Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry, Representative Anderson. What would I have you vote on?
Yes.
The resolution as amended.
Yes or no?
That is the motion before us right now.
I think it's divisible.
You think it is divisible?
Yes, that's right.
Well, Representative Dorman is working on something that he wants to talk to me about, and I will wait to recognize him when he's ready.
Well, I'd be happier with the division, but that's all right.
Any other discussion? Representative Dempsey.
Do we have, is this amendment, S8A2, does that include option A and option B of the main bill?
Representative Dempsey, yes.
That we haven't voted on the amendment. How are we voting on the resolution as amended?
Representative Dorman?
I think I got her, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I think then what I would like to do is... delete lines on page 1 to lines 9 through 15. And on page 2, line 15. And then on page 15 through 36. And then on page 3, lines 1 through 5. And I think that leaves you with option A. And if I didn't, or if it doesn't carry forward, I'd like to request a roll call there, Mr. Chair, too.
I'm sorry, Representative Dorman, are you, you're dividing?
No.
You're amending.
I'm deleting those lines.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay.
So I'm deleting, as I understand it, I'm deleting the B portion of it, leaving you then just with A.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were still dividing. Can you state that amendment again?
Sure. The amendment would be to delete on page 1, lines 9 through 15.
Okay.
On page 2, line 15. On page...
I think you want 15 through 36 on page 2.
15 through 36, exactly. And on page 3, 1 through 5. But I want to look at one thing. And Mr. Chair, I guess what I'm not sure about in the division on the subtraction or the deletion on page 3, if I need or don't need some of that language, I guess that would be a question that I would want to ask, because obviously the limits on option A and B are based on expenditures, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I don't know if we need the... if that needs to be in there to make the whole thing work, and you just delete the A and D since there would just be one thing left. Again, I apologize, I know I...
Sure. Well, Representative Governor, it's certainly... I guess I have questions about whether you could divide this, but you certainly can make an amendment such as you're talking about doing. I'm having... Council is passing me something here, and I think what you want to do is... if I can restate what I think is your amendment, Representative Dorman, it would be delete page 1, lines 9 through 15. Delete page 2, lines 15 through 36. Delete page 3, lines 1 through 2. And on page 3, lines 3, delete in options A and option B and insert... Actually, I don't think you need to do that. I think you just need to delete options A and option B. So the limits are based on expenditure.
That's it, Mr. Chair. And so the result would be, and just to remind you, request a roll call, that way we're voting on the A. So this would be no gambling, that primarily goes to just pay off the offset, doesn't put any more money in education. This is just the box in which we created when we passed the budget resolution.
Okay. Representative Dorman, you certainly can make the amendment that you are talking about. Making that amendment is before us. You've requested a roll call vote. Discussion to the Dorman amendment. Representative Osment.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I would speak against the Dorman amendment. I think that we should have the ability to let people know exactly what we believe should be available in the form of funding. With the potentials that we have, it's no different than how we used to operate when we would put together our finance committee's proposals, and then we would eventually vote on the tax bill. In this case, we have a different revenue mechanism. Rather than taxes, we're looking at the potential of some gaming activity that can fill in that gap. But it's very clear that if that doesn't pass, then we would go to an option A. If we would follow the Dorman Amendment right now, that means that we are looking at option A as being our only activity, and that is certainly not something that I would like to focus on at this time. I'd rather look and see what we can be doing in the state of Minnesota if we can all kind of pull together and find the necessary revenues to do good things in our state. And I don't know what political points are trying to be made on the issues, but I really do think from a functional standpoint, I would like to have the opportunity to work on the two different targets so people can really see the difference that we would have in how government would operate, provided we would have some additional revenues for the state of Minnesota. Having option A and option B together provides us that opportunity to give full disclosure and full debate on what we could potentially have before us later on this session.
Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to be clear about what I'm voting on here, if we vote for the Dorman Amendment, we still then have to vote on the amendment as amended.
Right.
Is that correct? I'm just trying to ascertain whether I'm voting on half a skunk or a whole skunk.
Representative Hilty, if the Dorman Amendment was to prevail, you would still have the remainder of the budget resolution available. The Dorman amendment would, I think everyone knows what it does. It takes out the additional funding that would be available from House File 1664, takes out the spending on a variety of areas that would go to a number of different areas from House File 1664, and leave you with just what we would term Option A. Representative Andevere.
So, Mr. Chair, if this was to go on, the Option B was taken off, and somehow the gambling was to pass, what would happen to the money then from the gambling?
Representative Andevere, I'd have to think about that one for a minute. You would have additional funds available. I guess let me say there's a couple things that could happen. You could pass the Racino or House File 1664 and spend all the additional money in it that was contemplated in Option B as a separate bill, because that would not affect the target. That would not affect the budget resolution. That is treated as non-tax revenue. And so what would happen, Representative Vandeveer, is we would have essentially Option A as our budget targets, and then if that bill were to pass, I would presume it would pass with, under these circumstances, some spending in it for particular areas, and then those particular areas would get that additional spending. Representative Kelleher.
Mr. Chair, isn't there another option? And that would seem to me that if the gambling portion of this is not successful tonight, but portion A is successful, that what you do if the gaming bill passes, any iteration of the gaming bill passes, you come back and you amend the budget targets. It seems to me that that is what we have done for all the 7 years I've been here. We've come back in and amended budget targets and the budget resolution in the past. I believe that before I arrived here, that's the way that was handled, is you come in and you amend the budget resolution, you amend the budget targets in this committee, and you take it out to the House floor for objection under these rules, if that's what people want to do. But I think it is an odd process here to have two things before the body at once as the budget targets. And so, Mr. Chair, I think if there's option A and B, I suspect there's 24 more letters of the alphabet, and we could probably think of 24 more ways to do this.
Representative Kelleher, I imagine that amendments are in order. But Representative Kelleher, you're clearly right that you could pass the House File 1664, have additional money, and amend whatever targets we are established to spend more money in them. You could also carry that money in the bill, and since it's non-tax revenue, have it all balanced within the bill and spend the money that way too. You are correct that you could do it that way. I'm simply saying there's another option to do it that way as well. I mean, Representative Vandermeer asked me how it would work, and frankly, both those would be options. I have Representative Mariani, Representative, to that point?
Yeah, because you've got the same problem, Mr. Chair, if it isn't Racino that passes. If we get the revenue note that you were talking about earlier on the hybrid, and it's, say, $222 million, you got the same thing there.
You could conceivably do that, I suppose, Representative Dorman. Representative Mariani.
Well, Mr. Chair, just on the Vandermeer question, I was just going to say that 40% of that revenue would wind up in the Environmental Trust Fund per the Constitution. So we know where 40% of those that will wind up going.
Representative Dorn. Representative Sikora.
Well, I might suggest, Mr. Chairman, that if we have the gambling money, after we're in conference, we often get conference targets. And so that might be some money that would be available for conference targets.
Representative Dorman, I have you on my list. Just something else? Okay. Representative Huntley.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, I support the Dorman Amendment. If we just forget about for a minute the probable unconstitutionality of what this section would do, you need to look at where the money, the $200 million you proposed we're going to get, we're putting $134 million into K-12. So, Minnesota has now sunk to the level that we have to fund K-12 with gambling money. According to the Minnesota Taxpayers Association, pretty conservative group, we're the eighth wealthiest state in America based on our total personal income per everybody. We're the eighth richest. If you look at our tax load, according to the Minnesota Taxpayers Association, if you look at state, local, and fees, we're 22nd. We're the eighth wealthiest, and we have the 22nd highest tax rate. And here we are. We're going to have to depend on gambling money to fund our K-12. Folks, this is a state where Laura Ingalls spent a few years in Walnut Grove. After she left Little House on the Prairie, they moved to Walnut Grove, a mile and a half north of Walnut Grove, and lived on the banks of Plum Creek, is the name of the book. And, folks, in 1876 in Walnut Grove, those German, Swedish, and Norwegian farmers somehow figured out how to build a new schoolhouse and hire a school teacher, and they didn't have to use gambling money. That's what we've come to.
Well, Representative Huntley, again, we are merely presenting two options here, and I guess I would speak in keeping the resolution the way it is. There is certainly a possibility there will be additional money here. We are already using gambling money in this state, Representative Huntley, in our budget. We have a state lottery, after all, that our state runs. We have charitable gambling. We're certainly already using gambling money to fund education, a variety of other sources. And I, Representative Huntley, I could certainly get into a long debate about state tax rankings and other things, but I know people have other things they want to do, and so I'll delay that, and people really want to get into it. Representative Dorman passes, Representative Abram passes, Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To sum up what Representative Huntley said, I would say this next vote is kind of a slots for kids vote.
Well, Representative Abrams.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I look forward to seeing the DFL offer amendments on the House floor to eliminate the state lottery, to eliminate lawful gambling, and to be a non-gambling state. So you can call it what you want to, Representative Greiling, but we already have gambling paying for education. So why don't you be truthful?
Where is Young Doll when we need
her? Here.
Representative Dorman.
Briefly, Mr. Chair, and if I've got this wrong, please correct me, because I know I have done that before. But I'm following the governor. I want to point that out, because I believe Governor Valente said that, as I heard his words, if you don't do the gambling, he understands that. But he was not high on the shifting of the gimmicks. And so all I'm trying to do, Mr. Chair, is follow the governor and make sure we don't do any gimmicks and are straightforward with our budget. So to represent Osmond's point earlier, political points, not trying to make any. I'm just with my governor.
Representative Osmond.
Chair, a question on the point is the amendment as it's before us now, or the bill as it's before us now, does it actually mandate that the shift that occurs in option B? Is that how? I don't see that in here. I'm wondering how that works.
Representative Osmond, there is no language in the resolution concerning a shift.
Okay, so that $134 million that's showing up currently in option B could actually be additional money for education should the committee choose to do that.
Representative Osmond, that is correct.
So anybody that says that they're trying to hide behind this because of a shift is not correct, because that will be a future decision that the Education Committee will make. The way this is being put forward at this time is that those dollars will be $134 for education, for the Education Committee to decide how to spend.
Representative Gorman.
Mr. Chair, I was just, that's why I asked you the question earlier, and that's how you answered it, is that you understood the difference between A and B to be the shift. So I was just following the Ways and Means Chair and what he said, and I would agree with you. I think we could do a lot of things, but somehow I got a feeling that we're not gonna. And so while we can kid ourselves, I'm just gonna say that he's the Ways and Means Chair. What he says is the shift, and I believe him.
Representative Osmond.
Mr. Chair, on that point,
so that people will know, to support the Dorman Amendment, you are actually cutting the 134 for education and in your projections. And so whether the Education Committee wants to put it into a shift or not is not before us. The fact is there's new dollars here that are, if they become available to us, we want to put those in a target where $134 million will go towards education. I think that's significant for us too. Not to mention the fact that we need dollars in the environment, we need dollars in other areas that this can really put forward our desires, and I think that keeping the proposal into an A and B options is the wise way to go considering the circumstance that we're in. And to follow the Dorman direction right now means you have to be voting against additional spending that's clearly showing up in option B for education and for higher education and for the environment and for public safety. And for, if you're against all those things, if you want to have a proposal put before us that says you would rather have lower spending on those items than support the Dorman Amendment. And that's what I believe Representative Dorman intends us to do with his amendment, is to cut those areas.
Representative Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just want to make darn sure you understand that there's more to this than just covering the shift. Representative Huntley was making a pretty passionate case for people that are kicked off programs. Representative Huntley, if we don't have option B, we fall to option A, that's 4,000 more people they will not be able to cover with our health programs.
Representative Kelleher.
Mr. Chairman, I think tonight that this is also about whether Minnesotans think that we use the shaky revenues of gaming to further go down that path and have the state further engaged in that activity. And Representative Osment, from everything that I've seen, what that does is move revenues around in the state. It's not new money that comes in here. It moves around from other activities. So I think that as vigorously as you can argue, a vote to eliminate B out of this is about cutting spending. I would argue with you that a vote for retaining the B part of this plan is about an expansion of gambling from the state side of things that I think many people are uncomfortable with and, frankly, is no way to balance this budget.
Okay, I have Representative Huntley, Biskins, Dorman, and Vandeveer. Representative Huntley, Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I find it interesting Representative Kelleher starts off by talking about what the people of Minnesota would decide. Well, if she truly believes that, we've had at least four statewide polls done by very impartial, nonpartisan groups who have said over and over very consistently 70% of the people of the state of Minnesota support the Racino proposal as it currently sits.
Representative Dorman.
Not in my district.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a question for you because I think Representative Osment is he's probably on the right track there. So if I understand the shift you've got, that would get us, that's an 82-18 shift. Is that correct, Mr. Chair?
Well, Representative Dorman.
We just shift more, correct? That would shift more money in education. So there's nothing that would prevent us maybe from going to $200 million.
Representative Dorman, a couple things. Firstly, the resolution in front of us says nothing about a shift. Representative Osment is correct in saying that. The option B that you are deleting would put an additional $134 million into education spending. If you did a shift in option A, as I discussed earlier, you would have $134 million in spending you could do, but at the price of moving that $134 million out of this biennial spending. If you did that, you would go from the 84.3% shift to 82.15%, halfway down to the 80% we were at last year. Representative Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Kelleher, I'm trying to follow your argument here, but it seems to me that this isn't about whether gambling is successful in the legislature this year, but more about where the resources are going to go if it is successful. and using our position here on this committee right now to capture that and direct that, or whether we allow it to be done in a conference committee, you know, later on in session. So I'm not seeing the link here between this making gambling successful as much as a what happens if it is successful, and using our influence now to decide that rather than leaving it to someone else later.
Well, Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, maybe Representative Kelleher wants to answer that first and then call me back.
Oh, okay, Representative Kelleher.
Mr. Chairman, your whole proposal tonight is based on a submission on the B part of this that Representative Biskin's bill passes. I think, and that's gambling. So, Representative Vandeveer, I guess the point here is, if that bill passes a House committee and can be considered at some point in terms of revenue, then we should do it at that point. But I, for one, and frankly, my district doesn't support gaming 70%, Representative Biskin, so maybe I'll talk about the district I represent here in the Minnesota House. They don't think it's wise to base the future revenues of the state on something like this. So I think that it's pretty clearly linked, and I think the testimony earlier tonight is that it's pretty darn clearly linked that there's $200 million booked from gaming revenue on the B side of this proposal, a bill that has not passed, may not pass, and I think that was the earlier discussion about the tax committee. Maybe it will pass. Come on back and change the budget resolution, but if you want to talk about honesty in the budgeting process or transparency, this certainly is not it.
Well, Representative Kelleher, I think this is a very honest resolution. And it was a very honest resolution because it gives people two choices. There's some question as to whether the gaming bill will pass. This resolution says if it's passed, this is where we're going to spend the money. If it's not passed, it also says this is where we're going to spend the money. We could come forward with a bill that builds it in, and then people would be saying, well, how do you know it's going to pass? This isn't completely open. We're presenting a very honest proposal here that lets people make that decision. If it passes, they see where the money goes. If it doesn't pass, they see where the money goes. I think it's a very open and honest resolution.
Mr. Chair, you want to make me odds on whether it passes or not?
Only if you said 45 minutes.
Representative Kelleher, I myself don't gamble. Did you have something else, Representative Solberg?
3 hours ago we started this process. We're kind of going around circles. I know Representative Rukavina is pacing, and so am I. The food is probably all gone, but we expect you to...
I hope not.
You pay your $20 anyway. but we need to get the vote on this, I think. But I keep in mind one thing that that we need to worry about, and that is go back to the very first part of the meeting when you were explaining option A, and I think it's understood that in either option A or option B, that it's anticipated that the schools get $134 million. Where you come from, we'll go back and review the tape of your statements, and then I take the chair as his word.
Representative Wadenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you hadn't said that this is a very honest proposal, I wouldn't have raised my hand. But since you said that, I want to read one sentence from our Constitution to this committee. This is our Constitution. Not less than 40% of the net proceeds from any state-operated lottery must be credited to the fund until the year 2025. And the fund they're talking about is the Environmental Trust Fund. That's our state constitution.
Representative Wagenius, I would simply say that there are interpretations of that that take the 60%, 40% split from a different number than you are taking it. And you know that that is an item of dispute among people. I respect your opinion on it. There are different opinions on what number you split the 60-40 from. Representative Wagenius.
I think if you ask any Minnesotan that voted in 1990 what was meant, they wouldn't think that getting 1 or 2% of the money into the Environmental Trust Fund is what they meant when they voted.
Okay, Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair, I have two questions for Mr. Marx. Mr. Marx, in option A, what's the total amount of spending the state's going to do?
Mr. Chair, at the bottom, excuse me, the at the bottom between the lines, the $29,835,000,000 is the net expenditures number. I can't specifically answer the question because that it depends on how committees make decisions on revenues, non-tax revenues versus expenditures. So this is a net expenditures number. And to the extent a committee raises a fee or raises a revenue, it nets out within this.
So, Mr. Marks, what was that number again?
Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, the net expenditures number is the $29,835,000,000 number at the bottom of the House column under Option 8.
Mr. Marks, what's the net spending then in the Option B?
Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, it would be the same number.
Thank
Again,
you.
The net spending number.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Silberg. Any other discussion? Again, members, I would request a no vote to preserve our options for the future. Clerk will call the roll.
Not Black?
No.
Dempsey?
Pass.
Abler? Abrams?
No.
Anderson?
Aye.
Beard?
No.
Bradley?
No.
Diskins?
No.
Carlson?
Aye.
Clark?
Yes.
Thurman?
Yes.
Doran?
Yes.
Earhart?
Yes.
Bradley?
Aye.
Gunther?
No.
Hamilton?
No.
Hilty?
Yes.
Holbert?
No.
Huntley?
Yes.
Kelleher?
Yes.
Lindsay?
Pass.
Greeky?
No.
Larson?
Yes.
Mariani?
Yes.
McNamara?
No.
Nurnes?
No.
Otremba?
Yes.
Osmet?
No.
Paymer?
Yes.
Rukavina?
Yes.
Bruce?
No.
Seifert?
No.
Smith?
No.
Silbert?
Yes.
Sakura?
No.
Vandeveer?
No.
Wagenius?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
And are there any other people who wish to change their votes? If not, I will note the roll here. Cleansing?
No.
Cleansing votes no. Any others? All right, let me add it up. There being 18 ayes and 18 nays, the amendment is not adopted.
Good news for the Racino business.
Okay. Discussion to the resolution as amended.
Third reading.
There is a roll call.
There is a roll call. Thank you for reminding me, Representative Silberg. Well, seeing no further discussion, I will ask the clerk to take the roll on House Resolution 8 as amended. Clerk will take the roll.
Knoblock?
Yes.
Dempsey?
Pass.
Abler? Abrams?
Yes.
Anderson?
No.
Beard?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Diskins?
Yes.
Carlson?
No.
Clark?
No.
Thurman?
Well, I'll pass once.
Doran?
No.
Earhart?
Yes.
Bradley?
No.
Gunther?
Yes.
Hamilton?
Yes.
Hilty?
No.
Holbert?
Yes.
Huntley?
No.
Kelleher?
No.
Lindsay?
Yes.
Grinke?
Yes.
Larson?
No.
Mariani?
No.
McNamara?
Yes.
Nurnes?
Yes.
Otremba?
No.
Osmet?
Yes.
Paymer?
No.
Rukavina?
No.
Bruce?
Yes.
Seifert?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Silbert?
No.
Sakura?
Yes.
Andevere?
Yes.
Virginius?
No.
Walker?
No.
I'll change to yes there, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Dorman changes to aye.
You can fool anybody, Dan.
Yes, it's bad.
Before, Your Honor.
There being 20 ayes and 16 nays, the resolution as amended is adopted. With that, members, there being no other business, the meeting is adjourned.